The following is a KVON Sports presentation. It's high school football from Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon, California. It's the CIF, Sac Joaquin Section, Les Schwab Tire Football Division III playoff game. Good evening, everyone, and welcome into another football broadcast on KVON. Tonight, it's the American Canyon Wolves taking on the River Valley Falcons in the opening round of Division III football action. The American Canyon Wolves are the home team. They have come on with six straight victories. The River Valley Falcons in that very tough tri-county conference coming in as a third-place finisher in the league. They are the number 10 seed, and American Canyon is the number 7 seed. Good evening, everyone, and welcome in to our football broadcast. On behalf of the Napa Valley Sports Boosters, I'm Ira C. Smith. And joining us tonight for the broadcast with the color commentary is the guy who coached the game. He played the game, and he does a heck of a job commenting on the action out there on the playing field, and that is Kent Fry.
Ira, thank you. It's great to be here, and looking forward to a fun night tonight watching the Wolves of American Canyon and the Falcons of River Valley, of course, coached by the great Dave Humphreys there. And that boy, does that name ring true?
Oh, boy, for years, 22 years there in the Grass Valley at Nevada Union.
Absolutely. We had a lot of fun coaching against Dave Humphreys, and it was great trips going up there and him coming down to Memorial Stadium. So I'm anxious to see his team of River Valley. That's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, high school football playoff on a Thursday night, this is something new, Ira.
Yes,
I'm not used to that. What happened to our Friday night football here? I don't know, but it's great football weather. It's crisp, it's clear, and what a beautiful setting we have here at American Canyon. I love here at the Wolf Den. It's beautiful, absolutely gorgeous.
Definitely football weather. And we'd like to welcome to our crew tonight a guy who is very familiar with American Canyon football. He has been around the scene. He knows all about it. He knows the players. He knows the coaches. And he knows the game. He is Billy Gutierrez. Billy, nice to have you aboard tonight.
Thank you, Ira. Great to be here tonight and watching the first round of playoffs with the Wolves and the Falcons. Wolves have rattled off six straight, and they look strong. It's no coincidence that, you know, getting Eddie Birdsong in that game and them rattled off six straight games has been coinciding with their success. And I look for a great game tonight against a tough River Valley Falcon team who they're, as mentioned before, they're laden with a lot of juniors and sophomores and a young team that should have something to look forward to in the future from them.
Mentioning about Eddie Birdsong, he's a guy that transferred over from Vintage High School, and we really remember when he was out there the brief period of time that he played for the Crutchers.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a force on the freshman team. Remember that, Ira?
Absolutely.
He ran hard, and we look forward to watching him play in the big game, which he was a little big game at that time. And, you know, unfortunately, he transferred down here, unfortunately, for Vintage. I know Coach Leach would, I'm sure, would have liked to have Eddie in the program, but for other reasons, Eddie decided to come transfer down here to American Canyon, and I'm sure Coach Larry Singer is very happy he's here.
Well, they lost the first three games without him, and since he has joined the team, they reeled off those six victories in a row. And our statistician extraordinaire is Dino Alessio.
It is great to be here tonight. Kent, we finally got that football weather that we've been wanting all year. Remember that first game of the season we broadcast, it was about 100 degrees at game time. It's going to be about, unfortunately, I guess we don't have Jake here to tell us exactly what the weather is, but I'd say it's going to be around maybe mid-50s at kickoff. I've got a bunch of sharpened pencils at the ready. Looking forward to seeing Eddie Birdsong play again after not having seen him play for a while. And the rest of the American Canyon Wolves. We usually we like to make a trip here to broadcast a game, and but this is the first time this year that we've
It's not the first. We've had other crews here.
Right. The first time this crew has been here. Exactly. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how the Wolves do tonight.
Well, the breeze is coming out of the south, blowing toward the north, which is similar to what it usually does at Memorial Stadium in Napa. It is picking up a bit. You might say it's a brisk breeze at this juncture.
Well, that water and the breeze comes right off the bay here, you know, the San Pablo Bay coming right up here and the Maryland Straits.
3 years ago, speaking of water, were you with us when we got soaked in that night?
It was wet, Ira. It was very wet.
The wind was blowing the rain right in on us that night, and Dino had all of his statistics wetted down.
I did, and I don't know how I was able to keep track of things because my pencils were wet, my stat sheets were wet, and I don't even remember how we did it. I just remember being wet.
And for you fans of the Vintage Crushers, we'll have updates as the Crushers are playing against Intercom in the Sacramento area tonight. We'll be getting updates on reports from the site over there to keep you informed as to what's happening in that area. Taking a look at how the teams have done, a little bit about the coaches. Larry Singer in his third year as the head coach for the American Canyon Wolves. Brandon McFadden, who's in his fourth year as the coach, is joined this year by a well-known coach, Dave Humpers, who surprised people about 4 or 5 years ago by announcing his retirement after 22 years as head coach for Nevada Union there in Grass Valley. And in those 22 years, they were in the playoffs 17 times.
Absolutely.
Very successful program there. We'll be back and take a closer look at tonight's encounter as this is the opening round of the CIF Sac Joaquin Les Schwab Tire Football Division III playoff game. Well, we're in the playoff time of the year for high school football, and tonight's the opening round. We're at Wolfden Stadium in American Canyon, and we take a look at the Division III football action. The number one seed is Oakdale. They're playing tonight against McNair. Now, there are a couple Friday night games in Division III. Christian Brothers of Sacramento is hosting Benicia tomorrow night. Los Banos is hosting Rio Linda. So glad we didn't go there tonight that we came here to American Canyon. The winner of this game will play the winner of the Manteca-Rio Americano game. Manteca is the number 2 seed. Rio Americano is the number 15 seed. And that game is slated for next Friday night, a week from tomorrow night, on November the 17th. Now, looking at Division II in the Sac Joaquin section, we find that the Vintage Crushers are the number 15 seed, and they're playing at the number 2 seed Intercom tonight. That is in the Sacramento area. The winner will play next Friday night against the winner of the Del Oro against Lincoln contest. The number 1 seed in Division II football is Granite Bay. And we might mention that Vacaville Bulldogs are in Division I, and they got a very lofty number 5 seed in Division I, and they are also playing tonight and are home against Monterey Trail. If they win that game, they would play the winner of the Jesuit Modesto game, which is being played on Saturday afternoon. So that game is not being played tonight. It's the only one in Division I that is not a Thursday night game. Now, going to the North Coast section, where the American Canyon Wolves will be next year, along with the Vintage Crushers and the Napa High Indians, the Justin Siena Braves, the number 12 seed, plays on Saturday night at 7 o'clock in Hayward, California, against Moreau Catholic. And also in that Saturday night action down in San Jose, the Sonoma Valley team, the 14th seed, will take on the number 3 seed, Harker High School, there in San Jose. Again, that's 7 o'clock on Saturday night. So, Kent, that's taking a look at some of the action. We've got some good representation from the Napa area in the playoffs.
Absolutely. You know, we have Justin and Vintage and, of course, American Canyon. And it's nice to see Vacaville and Woolsey Wood and so forth. And, you know, familiar teams with our within the league. And hope everybody does well, Ira. It's, you know, it's a whole new season right now. So it starts. There's no, well, we'll get together next week and we'll come back. This is do or die now. So it's... it's a one-game contest, and winner keeps going on, and loser goes home and starts playing golf and basketball and everything else.
Right. You mentioned Wood, and we'll see. Wood is also in Division II, along with Vintage. But Wood's in the upper bracket, and they are the number 12 seed, and they're playing the number 5 seed, Sacramento. So you have to feel that had Vintage won that game, they would have been at least the number 5 seed and maybe even higher.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely.
Okay, well, we're just about ready to get our ball game underway here at the Wolf Den Stadium. Just tell you a little bit about these teams. As we mentioned, American Canyon coming in having won 6 in a row. Their overall record, 6-3. In the SCAC, they were 4-0 and win the championship once again. While River Valley Falcons, they've won 1 in a row. They won their first 5 games of the season, however. And they are now 7-3. They tied for third place in their league at 3-3. Their school colors are green, silver, and black, and they're in white uniforms tonight with the dark numerals, while the Wolves are in their black uniforms with the silver numbers trimmed in white. Larry Singer, third-year coach for American Canyon, Brennan McFadden, and Dave Humpert, the co-head coaches for the Falcons. This is the eighth year that American Canyon has been a high school. Their first-year coach was in McMillan. They had just a JV program back in 2010, and in stayed around with the program for 4 years. The first year of varsity play, when they didn't have any seniors on the team, they went 4-6. The next year, under Coach McMillan, they went 11-2 and won the league at 4-1, and they have won the league each year since then. In 2013, they were 10-2 and 5-0 in the league. And then Ernest Lawson took over as the head coach, and they went 4-7 at that time, 4-1 in the league. That was the only year that Ernest Lawson coached the team. 2015, it was Larry Singer taking over, and they were 5-6, but they were 4-1 in the league. And then in 2016, 11-2 with a 4-1 record, and coming into tonight's game, 6-3, they were 4-0 in the league. So overall, 51 wins, 28 losses in their football varsity program. In league play, 26 wins and 8 losses. American Canyon at Benicia last week came through with a big 41-7 victory, their sixth win in a row, their sixth league title in a row. River Valley won at home against River City of West Sacramento, 64-43. We're going to take a moment to check with our sideline reporter, and tonight it's the guy familiar to all of you folks in the American Canyon area. So let's go down to the sideline now and find out how the field conditions feel there just before the playing of the national anthem. Here's Billy Gutierrez.
Thanks, Ira. Field conditions are nice. It's not breezy down here at all like you would think. You know, the kids are fired up, the coaches are fired up, and it's going to be big time right here. Here's the national anthem.
All right, we'll be back in a moment with tonight's opening kickoff from Wolf Den Stadium. It's football time from Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon, California. This is Ira C. Smith along with Kent Fry. Billy Gutierrez on the sideline as we're getting set for the opening kickoff. And here to tell us about the flip of the coin is Dino Alessio.
So it was the visitors from River Valley calling the toss or winning the toss. They elected to defer to the second half. But then American Canyon will be receiving, and they'll be attacking the south end zone. River Valley will be defending the south end zone in this first quarter. And the captains for American Canyon were number 2, LeVar C., number 4, Kama Alona, number 5, Brandon Johnson, number 16, Brandon C., and number 75, Lucas Gramlich. And here we go.
Topete kicking off and sends it soaring way down. It bounces inside the five, kicks into the end zone, and it'll be brought back out to the 20-yard line. And get that's where we get started. Marcos Topete, the kicker for the Falcons, sending it way into the end zone.
Just goes to show how important special teams are. And when you have a kicker who can put it in the end zone, now American Canyon starting at the 20, you know, it forces them to march 80 yards to put points on the board. So special teams, a major emphasis. Don't ever think that special teams is not important. It's just as important as offense and defense.
LeVar C. is the quarterback. He sends a wide out either side. Has a wing on either side as well and a single setback. C. is a 6'2 senior. He is set under center as he puts a man in motion going from left to right. Swings around, makes a cut inside as Alona, and Kamal Alona gets out almost to the 30-yard line, about a yard shy on about a 9-yard pickup as we start play here from Wolf Den Stadium.
What a great block by Brendan Johnson, number 5 out there, the wideout, to spree up Alona. That was a super block on the wideout out there.
That'll bring up second down and about 1 yard to go. Robin Brown goes out wide to the left side, had a wing over on the right side, and C under center looks up, looks over to the left side where he has double wide out there. Back under center now with a single setback behind him. Takes a snap and he hands off. They try to go up the middle. They have a dive play that works for a first down as a good job of blocking in there by Hunter Snyder, the center, as he was able to open up the way for the fullback Eddie Birdsong to get that first down.
And I read the Falcons lining up in a 5-2 defense. That time, number 64, Amit Singh, on the tackle. So they're playing right on the nose. Got a 5-2 defense.
Birdsong is the single setback. LeVar C. getting set. He's also the guy that does the punting. Does a good job on defense as well. Puts Johnson in motion. And they try to go up the middle, though, and they get about 3 yards on the play on just a little trap play, just going straight ahead with Eddie Birdsong getting the yardage out to the 36-yard line. They're heading toward the south end zone from our left to our right here in the broadcast booth at American Canyon High School. The Wolves of Larry Singer on the attack now as they come up to the line of scrimmage, just underway in the first quarter. Trip set out to the left side with three over there, putting Johnson in motion. They give to Johnson. Johnson gets the line of scrimmage. He's at the 40, 45. Johnson is hit, and he goes to midfield after the hit. What a run there by Brendan Johnson. He had 482 yards and 4 touchdowns coming into this game, and he was able to get the ball into Falcon territory.
Yeah, that's a nice formation there. Billy, it looked like they overpowered. Looks like Gramblich, number 75. I don't know if he was lined up as a tight end or that big old tackle out there on the left side.
Yeah, Gramblich made a great block over here on the guy in front of him. He was tackled by their sophomore their sophomore linebacker, Trevor Perucci.
Johnson goes in motion. C keeps the ball. He lunges over his left tackle. He gets out to about the 45-yard line of the Falcons.
Look for Coach Singer. They're lining up in that double wing, Ira, like you say, and they like to jump start one of the wings. So by the time the snap of the ball, they're almost back in the I formation, if you will, and they just run their, you know, the base offense is the offense. They can come back with counters and traps and so forth. But Billy Graham looks listed at 6'7". From up here, he looks like about 7 feet tall. That guy's a monster out there.
He is huge. He's the biggest guy in the field. And you just got to, all he's got to do is lean on someone,
yeah,
and then you go right on, right
yeah,
outside.
Yeah, you can pick him up out there easily. C now on second down. Hands it off to Birdsong. Birdsong is hit by one, by another, and the third guy finally brings him down a couple yards shy of a first down.
And I don't mean to be naming names like this, but, I mean, that's three plays in a row. They've run right over the left side, and they're just running right behind Lucas Gramblich, the big left tackle for the American Canyon Wolves.
And where I'm at right now, guys, I'm looking at the hole, and the hole is huge. So this 45, the sophomore Perucci has his handful when Birdsong comes through. That's no question.
There's a pitch out. They come wide to the right side. There's a flag on the play as the pitch out went to Alona, and Kama was stopped. But as Billy indicated, it's probably coming back due to a hold.
Definitely a hold. It was an actual tackle by Brendan Johnson. First play, they ran from scrimmage. They got 9 yards from it. They come back to it. That time, Brendan Johnson basically tackled his the guy he was supposed to walk down right in front of the official. You're not going to get away with that.
River Valley became a high school back in 2005, so this is about the 12th year for them, while American Canyon's in its eighth year as a high school. Out wide to the left side goes Robin Brown. C will stay under center. Birdsong still in the backfield. Johnson off a wing to the right side. Here on third down and about 15 yards to go for a first down. Johnson goes in motion. C hands off. Birdsong is going to be stopped shy of midfield. So they got a few yards, but they needed a bunch and were prevented. And so that is going to bring up fourth down, and we may see LeVar C for the first time punt the ball. But he does a good job of rushing the ball, too. He had rushed for 824 yards coming into tonight and 12 touchdowns.
Looks like they got the big fella out there kicking here.
Yeah, they do. They made a switch there as dropping back deep. A couple of the Falcons with Mergulia over on the right side. They're going to take the and they muffed the kick, but they were able to cover it up there as they had a little trouble there fielding the ball, but were able to cover it up inside the 20-yard line at about the 19-yard line.
So, Ira, here at playoff game, you just can't afford penalties, and a big penalty on American Canyon.
Right. 36 yards on the punt. We're inside of 7 minutes to go. No score in our game. It's all tied up at 0-0. American Canyon goes on the defense, and the first play from scrimmage coming up now for the Falcons. A pass out in the right flat is complete, and going down the sideline and being tackled over there was their wide receivers. And it was on the opposite side, but I think that was Chris Johnson. Johnson has received 4 touchdown passes so far this year, and he has the ball at the 35-yard line after a 16-yard pickup. It is a first down, still in their own territory. The pass is incomplete. They had a slant coming in from the side. It was intended for Austin Nair, and it was incomplete, but there is a flag down.
Let's see if they call a hold or a pick here. They're trying to run a pick play out there.
It's a hold against the defense. Yep. You don't see that very often.
It's on Brandon Johnson again. He was at the cornerback trying to stop that slant.
Well, that gives him a first down, takes it out to the 45-yard line on that 10-yard penalty. Dan Dean is the referee. John Hayes is the umpire. Dwayne Wolford is the head linesman. Russell Hunt, the line judge. And Joe Freeman is the back judge. And, Kent, they even have an alternate for the playoffs.
Sure.
And Arthur Curtwright is the alternate assigned by the Sac Joaquin section.
Ira, we got a flag here.
Now we have a hold against the offense.
Now, this is a typical, Ira, this is a typical Dave Humper's team. They line up about 3 yards off the ball, call the play very quickly up to the line of scrimmage and set very quickly and get that ball snapped off. So American Canyon needs to be set and ready for this offensive team.
Well, that takes the ball back to the 36-yard line. The quarterback is McPeak. He's just a junior, but a good passer. And his pass, well, that was slow, and they're ruling it incomplete. That pass intended for Dean Rice, a junior, as is the quarterback. Dawson McPeak, the quarterback, is 6'3", 175 pounds. He has passed for 15 touchdowns. He has carried the ball for 3 touchdowns.
Handles the ball well out there, Billy, on the fake. They're running that buck sweep play action. He hides it well.
Yes, he does. He's nice. He's got a nice little touch to the ball, very fluid. And like you said,
McPeak hands the ball off to Strickland. Strickland tries the right side. He cuts in, and he's brought down shy of the 40. They have to get into Wolf territory to the 45-yard line for a first down as Cole Emsweiler comes onto the field for the Wolves, replacing Kamba Beatty. So the ball is at their own 39-yard line. 6 minutes to go, first quarter. No score in the ball game as the Falcons have the football and McPeak, the quarterback, out the hands off, going up the middle and getting some good yards, and it's going to be tripped up just shy of a first down. Chris Johnson, the fullback, took that handoff and rambled very close to a first down. Looks like about 2 yards shy.
That was a really well-designed play there. It was like almost like a kind of like similar to a Statue of Liberty, but he did
right.
Hand it to him right in front of him. So
almost like they used to call that like a sprint draw, where you sprint out left and then the back just stays there, and just a last-minute handoff to the back.
They're going for it on fourth.
14-yard pickup. The quarterback fumbles the snap, and it doesn't matter who covers up the ball because that was on a fourth down, and the Wolves will take over regardless who recovered that football. So each team has had one series on offense, and we're still at 0-0, and the Wolves are getting the ball with good field position there at their own 48-yard line.
Yep, I think Kikoa Wilson, is that how you say his name there, Billy? Kikoa?
Kikoa, exactly.
Kikoa Wilson's the one who came up with that ball, Ira. And like you said, it was fourth down.
You know, you're absolutely right. They come out, River Valley does, is they come out real quick in the quick snap. You know, American Canyon's got to get ready, or they're going to have their hands full, because I could kind of tell this quarterback is, he's played a couple times before. You could tell he's pretty smooth.
Well, we looked in the Atlas and found quite a few other river valleys. Of course, this river valley is located in Yuba City. There is a Spring Green, Wisconsin, that has a River Valley High School. In Hood River, Oregon, there's a River Valley High School. In Correctionville, Iowa, what a name that is, with a River Valley High School. Three Rivers, Michigan, has a River Valley. So does Bidwell, Ohio, and Caledonia, Ohio. Mojave Valley, Arizona. Swiss City, Indiana. And Cuba, Illinois, all with River Valley High Schools. And they're on the defense now as the Wolves come up with their second possession of the game. No score. Just over 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. LeVar C. on the high count. Puts the wingman in motion. Back to pass. Looks down the middle. Lobs one down the middle. And it is complete. And there is a flag on the play. Perhaps a defensive interference. But Robin Brown made the reception. That's his 18th reception of the season. We'll wait and see the call. A 30-yard play, and it is defensive pass interference that's declined because of the result of the play.
Boy, what a nice ball, nice catch.
It was a very nice ball. It, you know, when he came down with it, the ref actually kind of almost like I thought he waved it off, but I guess he was I don't understand his hand gesture there. It looked as if he said it was incomplete, but certainly was a catch.
The ball is at the 22-yard line now of the Falcons. See, hands off to the first man coming through, and Birdsong is met right there and dropped at the 20-yard line. Pickup of a couple yards.
And I read the Falcons there. They're just putting eight in the box here. They're planning on stopping Birdsong and See and Alona and everybody else. They're saying, you want to throw? Go ahead and throw on us. They're going to put eight guys up there. Six, call it a split six, if you will.
Yeah. Well, C had passed for 698 yards coming into this game. He was 31 completion out of 68 attempts, and three of those were for touchdowns. And he will be under center now with a single setback. Johnson off on the right side, and two wide outs outside of him, including Robin Brown, who is the farthest out to the right side. And not seeing what C wants to see, they're going to be charged a 5-yard delay of game penalty. Taking too long out there.
Yep, they got to get the play calls in earlier and get settled.
Yes, they do.
They have to get down to the 12-yard line for a first down. They're getting deep there in the Falcon territory. So it is a Second down and about 14 yards to go for a first down. The ball is right at the 25-yard line. And the quarterback, double wing, hands off to Johnson. Johnson makes a good cut through. He's inside the 15. Johnson down to the 10. Boom, tackled and dropped there right around the 10-yard line. In fact, they're going to spot it. His knee went down at about the 11-yard line.
Nice play showing the sweep and option to the right, coming back with the underneath counter there.
Absolutely. The counter was there, and it was wide open. They're staying away on their right side from number 23 from River Valley. Number 23 is
Dean Rice,
and he is a big boy. He's a defensive end.
Their best defender is number 45. You can keep your eye on him, Perucci, and he's only a sophomore and is a very fine defender. Here is C putting Johnson in motion, handing off to Johnson. Johnson hit at the 20, driven back, and then collapsing out at about the 13-yard line. So that was not what they had intended on the play, but it'll bring up a third down. No score, 3:20 to go. We're in the first quarter of the game. LeVar C., the quarterback directing the team. He is a senior. Has a younger brother, Brandon C., on the team, but I understand that he has an injury. So we'll get into that a little bit later. There is encroachment. They showed that they were going to blitz, but did not. And they work it over the side and going in close to the end zone. He went down just before getting into the end zone, I think, was Eddie Birdsong. Birdsong was very close to that end zone. He did pick up a first down.
Ira, they had him.
Bad spot. Yeah.
Literally just kept his balance. Now they're calling a touchdown.
Oh, they did give the touchdown.
Looked like he was down. Looked like his knee hit down there, Billy, before. But
yeah,
they're giving it to him.
Yeah, I thought they didn't give it to him because he was clearly in.
So Birdsong did get the touchdown. Jose Lopez going to be attempting the point after. His kick for the extra point is good. He is now 16 out of 18 in the extra point department. And there's a timeout, 2:38 to go in the first quarter. And it is American Canyon Wolves 7. River Valley Falcons 0. Jose Luis Lopez teeing up the football. He's a big guy out there at 6'3", just a junior. He's ready with his approach to the football, and his left-footed kick is just a little squib trick that goes back to about the 35-yard line, maybe the 34, and getting in there quickly was Anicetti. But he stopped the play before they had a chance to return the ball at the 34-yard line.
Ira, quick update here from Sacramento. 9 minutes to go in the first quarter. Intercom has scored, and they're up 7-0 over Vintage.
So that Division II contest in the Sacramento area. Handoff comes to the near side to Baker, and Rex Baker gets across the 40 out to about the 42-yard line. Baker is their leading rusher on the season. He had 686 yards coming into this game, and he picked up about 8 yards on that, making it second down and 2 yards to go. As American Canyon leads it 7-0 now with 2 minutes to go here in the first quarter. Wide right goes Nick Barnes, their fine receiver, leads the team in that department. Handoff comes to the near side, and they're very close to a first down. I think they did get the first down. It'll depend on the placement of the football. But Evan Strickland, ball carrier, he's a 5'9 junior. A lot of extremely talented underclassmen on this Falcon team, including Trevor Perucci, who is their leader on defense. Right now they're on offense and moving the ball close to Wolf territory at their own 45-yard line. The gives the first man going through. He breaks one tackle. He's hit, and he still powers his way into Wolves territory on a nice move there by Chris Johnson.
American Canyon wasn't ready for that. They need to get down and get set because these guys are coming quick.
Yep, this is a typical Dave Humphreys coach team here. Billy, when he was at Nevada, you know, this is very typical, running the buck sweep, running the belly series, and the quarterback who can really handle the ball well and hide it on the fakes. A lot of misdirection.
They have Austin Nair in there as well, and he comes out wide to the left side, and Nick Barnes goes out to the right side. And the quarterback, McPeak, hands off, and they pick up a first down on the run by Chris Johnson, the fullback. Johnson has scored four touchdowns this season.
That's just kind of where the playside guard will pull Ira and kick out. They just run by behind him, balked down on the tackle.
The Falcons had one of their games postponed. That was against Wilsey Wood because of the fire, but they did make that up. So they did play the game against Wood. Wide right goes Barnes. In motion goes Johnson. And the quarterback hands it off to Chris Johnson. And he turns the corner, cuts in, and then he's cut down there at about the 36-yard line of the Wolves. About 4-yard pickup on the first down carry.
Yeah,
we're in the final seconds of the quarter, and that is going to be the final play of the first quarter. 5 seconds to go in the quarter, and they're not even going to come up to the line of scrimmage. So at the end of one quarter, here at Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon, California, it's the host, American Canyon Wolves 7, and the River Valley Falcons 0. Well, moving the ball to the 36-yard line of the Wolves. We'll check out that defense now for the American Canyon Wolves.
River Valley coming out and establishing the run here on this particular drive here, Ira. They're just come to the line of scrimmage, and they're winning the battle at the line of scrimmage.
Quarterback McPeak. Hands it off. They try over left tackle. The ball is loose, and American Canyon looks like they have recovered the ball. Let's see if it was downed or not. But was that Johnson, Brandon Johnson, that came up with the ball?
I thought he stopped his forward progress there.
I didn't hear a whistle, Billy. I don't know if you did down there or not.
No, I didn't, but I thought his progress was stopped, and that's what they're...
I agree with you. I just didn't hear a whistle.
Right.
They're conferring now. The referee, any indication that they are taking their officials' time out here to discuss the situation. As the recovery was made by Johnson, but they're walking off some yardage, and the offense is coming back on the field for the Falcons.
They're saying his forward progress was stopped, Ira. This is on the officials. They just hadn't blown the whistle.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the ball definitely shot out from the grip of the player, and they will get the ball, though, inside the 35-yard line. They have to get to the 30-yard line for a first down, and they have it at the 34-yard line. We're just underway in the second quarter. 7-0 is the score as American Canyon has the lead. But right now, River Valley getting the momentum and able to keep it alive by the ruling of the official that it was not a fumble. And
they're saying the play was dead.
Coach Larry Singer on the sideline wanted an explanation.
Yep.
Singer is also defensive coordinator. He also has Kirk Anderson, who is considered the co-defensive coordinator. Chris Yepsen working with the offense as offensive coordinator. Joe Beecham, Chris Rapicon, Billy Gardner, Lenny McCormick all help with the program. Rolling out to pass now, and the pass is incomplete as the quarterback Dawson McPeak rolled to his left, looked downfield, and fired it way out of anybody's reach.
Yeah, Nick Barnes was open, too. He ran a nice 10-yard stop, and there was no one within 5 yards of him. Ira, he put it about 5 yards over the target.
He was wide open, and he missed him. It would have been a big gainer, too. I like this McPeak guy, though. He's
look for him to come back at it again here.
Yeah, well, they're going for it on fourth down. McPeak is also their punter, but he's not going to punt. He's going to pass down the middle, and it's caught for a first down, and then a big hit was applied to Rex Baker, who came out of the backfield.
Yeah, Eric Stewart on the stop. Yeah, he was in the slot already. He's on the inside receiver.
That was a good hit. Yep. Baker was fortunate to hold on to that football, I thought.
Yeah, Eric Stewart put the hit on him, but he ran a nice little, just a little square and pattern. McPeak took his time and found him.
12-yard pickup on the play, and they go up the middle, pick up a good block at the 15, the 10, down to about the 5-yard line goes Chris Johnson.
Yeah, he made a nice cut back there. Iris started left, I think, planted, came back against the grain, and I thought he was going to score.
Had a good block there that set him free there at the line of scrimmage. So a 17-yard pickup on the play in the interior there. Two setbacks there behind McPeak, and he hands off to the second one inside the 5, the 4, the 3, the 2, the 1, the end zone. Touchdown for Rex Baker, the 6-foot junior.
Second man through. There's the typical belly series off that buck sweep. Wing T, whatever it's been called many things.
Yeah, it looks like he does. He kind of counters the two different guys. A lot of misdirection with this.
Well, that came in the first minute came to an end here in the second quarter. The extra point attempt is on the way. It's up, and we're all tied up as the extra point by Topete is good. And with 11 minutes to go until halftime, the score now is American Canyon 7 and River Valley 7. Well, the Falcons went 66 yards. It took them 11 plays and 3 minutes and 31 seconds to tie up the game, as the Wolves had gone 52 yards in 5 plays and 2:41 to get their earlier touchdown of the game. And now we have Topete ready with the kick and sends it way down. It's a wobbly kick, and it goes down to the 4-yard line. Taken there by the Wolves, brought out across the 10, the 15, and still going is Alona. Alona, the 40, he didn't quite get to the 40. He almost got there, and he took a heck of a hit from the kicker, Marcos Topete.
Yeah, Alona, I think, delivered the hit on him. Good run back by Alona, puts him in good field position.
He had a seam down here. If he would have got past him, he was gone. But he did take a lick.
Quick update from Sacramento is now 7-3. Vintage has come down, put 3 points on the board. In come 7, Vintage 3.
That's still in the first quarter there, dude.
Correct.
We're in the second quarter here at Wolf Den Stadium. Handoff goes to the tailback as Nobjet is across the 45 to about the 46-yard line. And
Ira American Canyon needs to establish a good run game and get some first downs, keep some drives, take time off the clock.
Nobjeet is the way he says his last name is Joel. Nobjeet Joel gets it to the 47-yard line. So a pickup of 7, second down, and 3 yards to go in a tie ball game. Or check that. Wolves have the football and drawn offside. That last run was Alona. And the
now River Valley jumped first, and then American Canyon jumped. Let's see what they call here.
I think it's on the Falcons.
It should be, Billy. They jumped first. They definitely did. Then American Canyon jumped.
Well, that would be encroachment then, if that's a call. And it is encroachment against the defense. So that will give the Wolves a first down and take the ball into the Falcons' territory at the 48-yard line.
And Ira, you'll take those 5-yard penalties all night long.
Inside of 10 minutes to go in the first half, 7-7 tie. LeVar C. under center. Two setbacks behind him this time as he gives to the first man going through there. And he's driven back after getting maybe a couple yards on the play, but not much else opened up for Eddie Birdsong that time. And so his forward progress got him to the 46-yard line.
Yeah, River Valley definitely keying on Birdsong from the fullback out of this option set.
Well, probably good reason. Birdsong, of course, 6 games into the season, and they've won all 6 games. He averages over 87 yards per contest as far as his carries. He's had four touchdowns this season. See the quarterback gives to the second man coming through there looking for an opening. And there's a flag on the play, maybe. Tama Alona gets it to the 40-yard line. They need the 38-yard line for a first down. They're going to be a couple of yards shy of that. That's illegal use of the hands against the Wolves.
That's the second big penalty against American Canyon, right when they're getting a drive going. That just,
yeah,
you can't have that, especially in a playoff setting here.
You're absolutely right. They need to be clean, take time off the clock. The clock is their friend if they can run it. But if they're going to get penalties and get behind the chains, then it could be a long night, especially with this, you know, this River Valley. They move the ball. That efficient offense, it's going to be a handful if they can't match points.
Takes the ball back into the Wolves territory, and C rolls out to his right. He's got good protection. Fires a long pass down, and it's deflected away from the intended receiver on a nice defensive move down at the 20-yard line. Ball was well thrown, but double coverage.
Yeah, C picked the wrong target, Ivory. He's going deep for the corner route when his underneath route, about a 12-yard out, was wide open there. See if the coaches up here see that and come back to it.
I think that was Eric Stewart that was going down there. He was running sideways to our vantage point. Couldn't pick up his number, but I think it was Eric. So it's third down now and about 14 yards to go. 7-7 tie with 8.5 minutes to go until halftime. LeVar C. under center. Puts a man in motion and gives to the first man going through. And he gets across midfield, but they have to get to the 38-yard line. And Birdsong got to the 47-yard line.
So that penalty just took them right out of, you know, field position, Ira. And now they're forced to punt again. That's twice now on two of their three drives that American Canyon has shot themselves in the foot with a big-time penalty.
C will be doing the punting, dropping back to his own 40-yard line. Mergulia dropping back on the right side for the Falcons. Good snap. C's punt. Mergulia dropping back inside the 10. Takes it right at the deep. Muffs the ball, and he quickly covers it up because there was really good pursuit there from Antonio Perez, a 5'11 junior. Perez got down there real quickly.
Billy, yep. That might be the best weapon right now for AC is punt the ball and see if they can recover one of these fumbles.
Exactly, and that was the problem earlier in the year in those first three losses. They were just penalties all day long. I think they had 100-yard penalties in three straight games.
Quick update, Ira, Sacramento now is Indicum 14, Vintage 3.
Still in the first quarter or not? Handoff as they come right out, right tackle, and get out to about the 19-yard line on a quick opener there for Chris Johnson, the fullback. Stopped at the 18 is where it's finally spotted now. They have to get about another yard for a first down. So a 9-yard pickup on the play by Johnson. He's the only setback there now as they put a man in motion. And they hand off to Baker. Baker rounds the corner at the 20, has the first down, and loses the ball, but it squirts out of bounds. He may have been down when that ball came out. But it gives them a first down as we come up on 7 minutes to go until halftime.
I know this sounds crazy, but, you know, LeVar sees their quarterback, but he has not played defense yet today because he is their best defender. He's going to need to get in this game because this is they're moving the ball too much.
Anicetti is a pretty good defender, too, for the Wolves. Quarterback on a little misdirection play, hands off. They get it out to the 30-yard line. And as he faked to the left, rolled out left, but then handed the ball off.
Came back with an underneath counter there that time, yeah. Ira, River Valley did. They had him stopped at the line of scrimmage, let him go, and he's pick up of 6 yards.
Evan Strickland, the ball carriage, 5'9 junior. They've got Johnson in the backfield. They go straight ahead again, and they're working against that defensive line, and they get another first down to the 35-yard line. They're still in their own territory, but they're grinding it out and utilizing a lot of the clock as well. Well,
what's happening, Ira, River Valley has established the dominance on the offensive line. They are definitely winning the battle, and they're just running north and south right now, coming at you one side or the other, putting 4 or 5 yards a crack.
Barnes out to the left side. You want to watch him on about every play. No, they run the ball again out to the side, pick up a first down, and get the ball into Wolves territory as Nico Tejada, a 5'9 junior, carries for the first time in the ball game.
Play side guard pulls and kicks out. Tackle comes down, and they're just picking up blocks. The tight end's blocking, and the wideout's blocking out there. Back's just picking his play. Picking his spot.
They spotted it, though, way back into the
another
Falcons territory. Yeah, but they did get a first down. And go right up the middle again. Boy, they're really working on that midsection, and they handed it off to Nico Tejada for the second straight play, and he gets the ball into Wolf territory now at the 49-yard line.
That time they just ran a trap off the Bucks week action. Or the back where they hand it to the fullback on a little trap, and then they fake the buck sweep to the back coming in motion.
Grinding 5 yards of a play is just
easy.
Killing them. Exactly.
McPeak gives it over it once again to this, and he gets a first down inside the 40 down to the 35-yard line. Goes Nico Tejada on the third straight carry for him.
Just the point of attack, Ira. River Valley has won the battle at the point of attack, which is the line of scrimmage.
Well, that was a 14-yard pickup for Nico Tejada. He was not a starter in the game. 5'9 junior, he came in there in place of Chris Johnson, and he has looked very good. They sent Austin Nair out wide to the right. But
Eric Canyon calling a timeout, Ira, and they need it.
So there's a timeout with 5 minutes to go here in the first half. We'll be back in a moment with the game all tied up as American Canyon 7 and River Valley 7. Well, we'll see what's going to happen now with this progress that the Falcons have been making.
Ira, the Falcons are already over 150 yards rushing in the game, led by Johnson with 92 yards.
Well, I'll tell you, the way that Nico Tejada has been carrying that ball, he's going to be right up there very shortly, too. He is the only setback, and he's going to carry to the right side. And they meet him there, and he still gets a yard, maybe 2 yards. As it took about three or four of the Wolf tacklers to finally bring him down.
Much better stalemating at the line of scrimmage there, Ira, than outside containment to contain him inside there. So
he looks bigger than 5'9", 175 pounds.
He looks like 5'9", about 220 pounds.
He's definitely bigger than he's at least 190, 200 pounds.
He's solid, too.
He's a load. I'm looking at him right here.
34-yard line. Second down, 9 yards to go. The gun formation, quarterback back to pass, getting Rice, flag on the play. I think a hold's going to come up. The pass is incomplete, a little underthrown, but that is understandable because McPeak was being hit just as he was ready to release the ball.
This McPeak kid is poised in the pocket. He stands like a siskiyou, real tall. I kind of like him.
Oh, he's definitely got the stature and size there, Billy, to be a pocket passer. There's no doubt about it.
So the ball is brought back outside the 47-yard line. They are in Wolf territory. 4:22 to go until halftime. 7-7 is the score. And Dawson McPeak, the junior quarterback, is bringing him up to the line. It'll be Matthew Rockenstein over the ball at center. Double wides to the right, rolling out to his right. McPeak setting, firing, incomplete. Underthrown on the play, may have been hit just as he was releasing the ball, intended for Austin Nair, a senior.
I don't know if the ball slipped out of his hand. Or it almost looked like you throwing a sinker or something.
Yeah, it was a bad throw, but I tell you, he's not afraid to throw in the traffic. I mean, I seen a couple nice throws. The ball comes out of his head nice, although it did not there, but.
Big play here for AC here, Ira.
Yeah, I don't know if this is four down territory for them. They are in Wolf territory, and McPeak is going to be under center. He's back to pass again. Got plenty of time. Fires it. It's complete. And they do get a first down as Joel takes the ball inside the 25 and is driven out of bounds shy of the 20-yard line. Boy, he was right on target with that play.
That was a great throw. He threw the ball in the air before the kid made his break there.
Going to have to play better defense down there, Bill. I mean, the two outside receivers ran deep, and this guy, the inside receiver, just ran about a 15-yard curl, and there was no one around him.
Yeah.
We're at the four-minute mark of the second quarter. McPeak gives to the first man going through, and that's just a dive play. It's a little trap up the middle that gets inside the 20-yard line.
I heard way too much. That's about a six-yard gain. You cannot give that up on first down.
The ball was carried that time by Chris Johnson, who is back in at the fullback spot, replacing Nico Tejada. A second down and 4 yards to go. 3.5 minutes to go until halftime. Under center is Dawson McPeak. Handing off the swing to the outside. They make their cut at the 15 down to about the 10-yard line on a really interesting carry by Chris Johnson, in that he had the blockers in front of him, and he was able to stretch it out enough to get the first down.
Well, Johnson, what I like about him, Billy, you probably saw it. He's very patient at taking his time and just making the right cut here and there.
He just waited for the little seam to come through, and then he went right through it. He's nice. He's a big kid, too.
McPeak hands off as they tried over left tackle this time, and it was Chris Johnson stopped for a short gain. But they're down there in that red zone at about the 8-yard line. They can get a first down without getting into the end zone. If they get down to the 2-yard line, they can pick up a first down. This is a second down and about 7 yards to go for a first down, 9 yards to go for a touchdown. And McPeak hands off.
There's a fumble
the play, and it looks like the Wolves have recovered as they gave the ball to Nico Tejada, the fullback. And it slipped away from him, and the Wolves were there to recover.
He never really got that ball. It was just kept slipping out, and then he got hit. And that's the break that American Canyon needed there, guys.
A huge break, keeping the score tied at 7 inside of 2.5 minutes to go until halftime. And the ball is back at their own 5-yard line as the Wolves get the break. Now they have to watch out that they don't lose it back in their own territory. They're at the 5-yard line.
Watch for LeVar C to carry this ball here.
C under center. Johnson in motion. C, as you said, he did keep the ball and got short yardage. They have to get out to the 15-yard line for a first down, and they are shy of the 10-yard line. This is a second down and a long 6 to go.
C is giving that ball to Birdsong every time on the option play. Maybe he needs to, you know, I don't want to play quarterback up here, but maybe he needs to, you know, pull and then take it off around the corner.
Fisher Siegel is in there replacing Eric Stewart now on this next play for the Wolves as C puts a man in motion, rolls out. He keeps it this time, looking for blockers, not getting them, and drop back at the 6-yard line.
That was a busted play right there. I don't know what they were trying to do there. I think they were trying to roll the opposite side and pass. And
well, this is definitely a possession play. Third down and about 13 yards to go.
Timeout, River Valley.
River Valley wants to take time out because they think they can come out of this with good field position.
Smart timeout there.
Still a minute and a half to go here. Eric Stewart coming back into that offensive huddle for the Wolves. As halftime is near, the American Canyon Wolves scored first, and that was back in the first quarter with 2:38 to go when Birdsong went over from 8 yards out, and that was his fifth touchdown of the season. And then here in the second quarter at the 11-minute mark, it was Baker getting the touchdown from 7 yards out, and both teams were successful in the extra point tries, and that's where we stand at 7 apiece. And on third down, 12 yards to go, and they're backed up. The Wolves are in. They'll be having their quarterback practically standing on the goal line.
Certainly wouldn't want to pitch it in the end zone here. I just want to get it out.
Yeah. See? He keeps the ball, goes over right tackle. He gets out to the 10-yard line. He needs the 15. He's tackled at the 11 and goes down there. Several other tacklers led by Eric Sandoval.
River Valley's called another timeout.
So it's fourth down. River Valley's going to come out with a very good field position on this. They'll have just inside of a minute and a half to go when they get possession of the football, but they should be in the Wolves' end of the field there.
Well, Ira, it would be interesting to see who they put back to receive this punt, because the first two punts, he's muffed both of them and luckily has recovered both for River Valley. So,
well, Rex Baker is one of their sure-handed guys, and he's one that they usually put back. And they also, they're sending Mergulia back there. Mergulia going back, and Evan Strickland is going back there as well. So Strickland and Mergulia will go back to about midfield. And the kicker, Jose Luis B. Lopez, drops back right near the goal line. He needs to get a good punt away this time. Gets the snap, a good snap. Gets his foot in, and it is a good one. Good air, and it kicks inside the 40, down to the 35, and still rolling all the way down to the 30-yard line. What a beautiful punt that was for Lopez. It goes 58 yards. And no returns. That's what the Wolves needed.
Ira, that's actually 75 Lucas Grimlett doing the punting right
there. Yeah, I thought that was Grimlett.
That's the big fella, 6'7", Luke Grimlett.
Yeah. So the
Ira, American Canyon needs to be very careful here with the play-action pass. Still a lot of time for this River Valley team to put points on the board.
I couldn't agree more.
The quarterback fake play action. His pass is complete, but not much of a gain as Chris Johnson was on the receiving end of the pass.
Looks like Brandon Johnson out there staying home, making a nice open field tackle for no gain.
The second down and 10 now. We're in the final minute of the first half. They on a counter play, hand off to Strickland, and Strickland goes down the sideline, picks up a first down, gets away from one, gets away from another, takes it all the way down inside the 35-yard line. I thought they had him contained way back there at the line of scrimmage, but he broke tackle after tackle.
Yeah, they had him stopped, Ira, just like you said, at the line. I don't know how he got out of that.
I don't either, but he picked up 36 yards on the play. That's just about how much time we have in the half. 35.6 seconds to go as the quarterback, McPeak, fires to the sideline, and it is incomplete. McPeak on a hurry-up pass play that time. It does stop the clock with 28 seconds to go.
Tried to go to the senior Nick Barnes there. I think that's their leading receiver, is it not, Ira? Yeah,
yes, he had 9 touchdown receptions this year, 696 yards of receiving coming into the game. He had 28 receptions and was their number one receiver.
Look for them to do the same thing again.
He's out wide to the left side. They look to him. They fire, and it's incomplete. That time they had a crossing pattern, and they went to a different wide receiver crossing over.
Yeah, they're just trying to hit the inside receiver coming on a little short out.
That was intended for the running back, Evan Strickland, there.
Yeah. Yeah, and they used Barnes as a decoy going long to pull the secondary over that direction and get it out of the way. Well, we're getting ready for halftime as the quarterback, McPeak, hands off. They try to draw play, and Chris Johnson has no place to go with it. The defense did a nice job of reading that draw.
That's more like a sprint draw, almost like Billy was saying earlier. It's almost like a Statue of Liberty that they had ran earlier, and that time they were ready for it, Ira. So River Valley's calling their last time out.
With 13 seconds left, I bet you he throws it in the end zone. What do you think? I mean, I'm just fourth down, fourth and 10, 13 seconds left. They're going in the end zone with this.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if they have Barnes as the guy that goes down for the pass. McPeak himself does not run that much. He has carried the ball only 16 times and has passed 117 times.
You put it in the end zone, or you just run a quick sideline route and get out of bounds, get the first down and out of bounds, and bring your field goal team on.
As Topite has done a good job of kicking. McPeak back to pass. His pass is
exactly
complete.
What he did.
Yep,
good call.
He's short.
And the Nick Barnes on the down and out caught the ball and stepped out of bounds.
He was short.
Yep.
Stops the clock with 8 seconds to go.
Take a knee, get out of here.
Well, it's definitely not a gimme as far as the field goal if they line up.
No, they turned the ball over and downs.
Oh, that was the fourth down. Yeah, they missed. So the Wolves send their offense back onto the field now. They'll have time for one play here with 8 seconds to go, but the ball is back deep in their own territory at the 24-yard line.
So, Ira, as a receiver, you got to know where those first down markers at. You can't run an 8-yard out when you need to run an 11-yard out.
Yes. Under center is C. Putting Johnson in motion, rolls back to pass. He is rushed, fires long down the middle, and it is caught. A great catch, but 4/10 of a second to go, and they stop the clock.
Out.
Wow, time for one more play. Robin Brown went way up there.
That was a nice throw by C, just opposite to the opposite side, rolling out to his left, and just threw a dime right there.
That takes the ball down to the 37-yard line, 4/10 of a second to go. That was a 39-yard pass play, and the Wolves take a timeout. And the
here you got to go for the end zone on this play.
Yeah,
no time to do other.
So we'll find out if they send Robin Brown deep after that fine catch. If they have Eric Stewart in there to go down. And
it looks like they're going to put a little bit more time back on the clock. 1 second. Still, this will be the last play.
So instead of 4/10 of a second, there is a whole second to go until halftime. And the line of scrimmage is the 37-yard line of the Falcons.
So I've seen in this situation like this that they've had a few games ago is to in Vallejo that they had ticked number 4, Kama Alona, down the seam out of the backfield. I'm interested to see if he's in there. I don't even see him in there right now.
He is. He's on the left wing here.
Yeah, he is.
Eddie Birdsong is out there.
Yes,
he is on the
left wing.
Yeah. So we're set now and see. They're not going to try to kick it. It would have been a long attempt. C is working from the gun formation, takes a snap, rolls to his right, now changes direction, goes to his left. He's tackled at the 40, and he's dropped right there at the 40-yard line as the clock runs out, and that is the end of the first half. So we're at Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon, California, where it's halftime. And the number 7 seed, American Canyon Wolves 7. The number 10 seed, River Valley Falcons out of Yuba City 7. Welcome back here to Wolf Den Stadium. This is the CIF, Sac Joaquin section, Les Schwab Tires football Division III playoff game. As the American Canyon Wolves, led by Larry Singer in his third year as the coach, going against the River Valley Falcons, led by co-head coaches Brennan McFadden in his fourth year and Dave Humpert in his first year there after oh so many years at Nevada Union, 22 years there. He retired from that position about 2013 and decided to come back to it. So I'm not exactly sure what brought him back into coaching, but they've had a good season with 7-3 as they finished last year with the reverse. They had a 3-7 record a year ago. Well, let's go to Dino and take a look at the first half stats.
So first, a quick first-half scoring summary. It was American Canyon getting on the board first with 2:38 to go in the first quarter. Eddie Birdsong took the ball in from 8 yards out. The extra point was good, and it was 7-0 in favor of American Canyon. But then River Valley came back quickly, and with 11 minutes to go in the half, it was Baker taking the ball in from 7 yards out. The kick was good, and that got us to 7-7, which is our halftime score. Let's look at some of the individual numbers. For River Valley, a tremendous rushing attack led by Johnson with 14 carries for 107 yards. Strickland, 3 for 43. Baker, 4 for 24 with a touchdown. Tejada, 5 for 35. Altogether for River Valley, 27 rushing attempts, 208 yards rushing in the first half. McPeak, the quarterback, completed 4 out of 11 for 44 yards. So for River Valley, 38 offensive plays, 252 yards of total offense. Remarkable that they have only the one touchdown. For American Canyon, the leading ball carrier in that first half was Johnson, 3 carries, 32 yards. Birdsong had 8 carries for 30 yards. Alona, 2 carries for 16 yards, and C, 5 carries for 6 yards. C completed 2 of 3 for 69 yards passing. Rushing the ball, American Canyon, 18 carries, 84 yards. So for American Canyon, 21 offensive plays for 153 yards. So the Falcons of River Valley have run almost twice as many offensive plays and gained 99 more yards than American Canyon. It's remarkable that the score is just 7-7. River Valley has 10 first downs to 7 for American Canyon. River Valley did have the one fumble, and that was certainly one of the main reasons that that this game is tied at 7. American Canyon is scheduled to kick off to start the second half, and they're going to have to figure out a way, Kent, to stifle that River Valley offensive attack. How do they do that?
Yeah, they're just winning. You know, they got to win the battle at the line of scrimmage. That's where it starts, Dino. And the second quarter, we saw the Falcons of River Valley just come out and establish dominance at the line of scrimmage, out-hitting and out-quickness, if you will. They're just beating them to the punch. And late in the first half, we saw American Canyon kind of stiffen their backbone up a little bit and was able to stop them. And they got the big turnover there to prevent a score as the Falcons were right there inside the 10-yard line with big turnover that American Canyon capitalized on. So just, you know, you got to win the battle line of scrimmage. That's where it's at.
You're in tune with KVON, 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the Internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith, Billy Gutierrez on the sideline, Dino Alessio with the stats here at Wolf Den Stadium on this CIF San Joaquin section, Les Schwab Tire Football Division III playoff game. And let's get an update in another playoff game as the Vintage Chryslers are going against Intercom tonight.
Well, Ira, I tell you, Intercom has got a ball game on their hands. In the second quarter, Isaiah Garcia ran for a touchdown. The two-point conversion was good. As we know, Coach Leach likes to go for those two. That was with 5:56 in the second quarter to cut Intercom's lead 14-11. Intercom came right back, marched down the field, and scored in the 4:28 mark of the second quarter to make it 21-11. Weber made a great touchdown catch after a great series of runs for the Vintage Crushers. And with 30 seconds to go in the first half, we have a ball game up in Sacramento. Intercom 21, Vintage 17.
Good game going there. Well, let's check with Billy Gutierrez as he has seen all of the American Canyon games here and give us an idea if this is something that's typical or what's different in tonight's contest.
Well,
this is the kind of game they don't want to get into, really. They like to play from ahead in the lead. This River Valley team, like Dino and Kent said, is just grinding the ball, moving the ball, winning the game at both sides of the line of the scrimmage, and doesn't bode well for American Canada. This is very reminiscent of the Vintage game, very reminiscent of the Woodland game, the first game of the year. So they need to D up and then establish some ground game. But like Kent alluded to a few times, Ira, American Canada is hurting themselves with penalties at very unopportune times. They just, I mean, you can't get a first down and then have a holding call and then get a second down and then have another holding call. It just doesn't bode well. And especially way with this McPeak kid can move this team. They're coming off the ball real quick, and they just grind it hard. They're running the ball well, and American Canyon's got to buckle down, because if not, it's going to be a long second half for them.
Absolutely, Billy. I mean, you hit it right in the penalties, just shoot yourself right in the foot. And, you know, you alluded to the Vintage game, what American Canyon played earlier in the year, where Vintage won the game 28-14. And you just can't get yourself beat off the ground, off the line of scrimmage, and you can't have penalties. And in a playoff situation like this, mistakes will kill you, just kill you. You don't have a second chance. So you got to cut down on the turnovers and the mistakes and the penalties. And fortunately, two big penalties for American Canyon to a big turnover there for River Valley. And, you know, American Canyon's got their hands full, just like you said, but they're in this ball game. They just got to do a better job on offense. We need to see C run the ball a little bit more, you know.
Exactly.
You know, pull the ball out from Birdsong, keep the ball. We saw that one play at the very end of the first half. You know, mix it up a little bit. There's no need to panic. Just get a couple of series, get a couple of first downs without that big penalty.
Exactly. If he can establish a run a little bit with C, maybe keeping the ball, and, you know, like you said, a clean series and go down and establish the run and move the ball. Because, like we're saying, the body language down there with American Canyon, it seemed like they were behind. It's 7-7.
Oh, no, no doubt about it.
They had a little body language going on, and they were a little disappointed. But it's a 7-7 ball game.
River Valley definitely had the momentum going.
Yes, they did.
Ira, here's another quick update. What a ball game up in Sacramento. The last score was 30 seconds to go in the first half. Intercom 21-17. Garcia just picked off a pass from Intercom, ran it back for a touchdown with 5 seconds to go in the first half. Vintage now leads Intercom 24-21.
Wow, that's probably a halftime score. Vintage is the number 15 seed. Intercom, which is 10-0 on the season, is the number 2 seed.
Absolutely. You got a big upset in the making there. I mean, Coach Leach has that team prepared, and he's got those guys going up there. We're not just going to be a laydown. We're not going to be a 15 seed and just go up there and just show up. We're going to come up here and play, and we expect to win.
Well, Vintage had lost its last 8 straight playoff games, and it's been 31 years since they last won in a playoff game. But Vintage had a tough time in last week's big game, 46, winning it 14-7, close contest there. And I thought it was interesting looking over the league leaders in the stats for the SCAC, and in the rushing department, a guy named Ty Hunter was the leader. I'll have to check with Billy in a moment to find out where he was. But then the next 4 leading rushers were all from the Wolves squad. LeVar Say, 824. Kama Alona, 536. Eddie Birdsong was 4th at 523. And Brandon Johnson was 5th at 482. So 4 of the top 5 in the league in rushing from one team. I thought that was amazing. And in total touchdowns, LeVar C. had 12. He was the leader. Ty Hunter had 11. Cameron Lane had 9, which tied Kama Alona for the Wolves, who also had 9. And just some other outstanding leadership in receiving yards. Alona was 3rd, and Robin Brown was 5th for the Wolves. So they had some leaders in the various statistical categories in that SCAC situation. We'll be back and continue halftime here at the Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon, California, after this timeout. Well, this year in the Solano County Athletic Conference, American Canyon was the champion for the sixth year in a row. Vanden finished one game behind, and then Benicia and Jesse Bethel of Vallejo finished in a tie for third place. Vallejo was fifth, and Fairfield was a distance sixth place there. Fairfield 0-8 overall this season. They were 0-5 in league play, so they were able to play all of the other teams in their league, but they lost all of their games. So a down year for Fairfield. And we remember, Kent, when you were coaching and probably playing at Fairfield, had a heck of a good program there at Schaefer Stadium. They had their organization there of the Booster Club that did a lot for that program.
Absolutely. I already had the coach, Jim Sykes was the head coach over there, and really built up that Fairfield Falcon program. And you're right, the Booster Club was terrific. Raised a lot of money to help build the new stadium right there on the high school. And they were very competitive, put a lot of kids out through, into college scholarships, you know, from that program. They were a foe to be reckoned with. There's no doubt about it.
Well, what I remember a lot is that their longtime PA announcer there was Jim Thompson, who was also the boys' varsity basketball coach for years. And here was the mildest guy you could ever meet, but you get him on a basketball court coaching, and he was just the opposite. He would just he would get so excited and so disgusted at the officials and all.
I think that must be a characteristic trait in all high school basketball coaches. My brother-in-law,
Ron Thompson. Yeah.
My brother-in-law is the same way, Ira, who coached up at River City High School, still teaches, but coached for 25 years as a head basketball coach. The most mildest gentleman you ever met on the court, just the complete opposite. He was like Dino. He was just ranting and raving all the time.
I have been known to rant and rave when I feel it's necessary, Kent.
Well, you know, it's interesting the comparison here of the teams coming into this game rushing-wise. This American Canyon was averaging 287.3 yards per game, while River Valley was averaging 255.4 yards per game. So they were very close there. But no comparison in the passing yardage. American Canyon, 99.6. River Valley, 151.4. So they have done quite a bit more passing than the Wolves. You know, we're talking about Larry Singer being the head coach and also working as the defensive coordinator. And he puts a lot of emphasis on the help that Kirk Anderson has done. And Kirk, as the co-defensive coordinator, had been at Napa High and had done a great job for the Napa High Indians.
And Kirk, you know, he played quarterback at Napa High. He's a Napa High graduate. Went on to play college ball and just a great asset to any coaching staff. And, you know, Larry is just glad to have him down here. There's no doubt about it. So, it shows, Ira. It shows up when you have a good coaching staff. Your team plays better, is well-disciplined, and executes very good and much better than the other opponents. This game here, we have quite a ball game here, Ira. I think American Canyon has realized that River Valley is not going to be a laydown. They're actually taking it to American Canyon a little bit. American Canyon, I'm sure Coach Singer has gone in at halftime and just said, hey, guys, we're lucky to be here at 7-7 instead of 14-7. So big turnover. So let's see what adjustments have been made on both sides of the field here.
And you can be assured that there will be some. And Chris Yepsen, speaking of assistant coaches, has been a long-time assistant here, including being the offensive coordinator now.
Yeah, Chris has been here for a long time, is right. So that adds the continuity to your program and stability that a program needs and wants. So again, I can't express what a great staff. It's just a pleasure for the head coach to know that he has a good staff and can rely on his assistant coaches.
And if you remember Chris Rapicon, and might ask Billy Gutierrez about this, because so many years there was a Rapicon out there on the football field.
Probably going to be about four more to come yet, I have a feeling. What do you got there, Billy?
We have Michael Rapicon, which was the second quarterback of American Canyon, and he was actually the quarterback when we went to the playoffs and played Oakdale. Then there's Andrew Rapicon, and he was the star linebacker for he's been playing varsity since his sophomore year, graduated last year. They do not have any more Rapicons coming up playing sports other than their the youngest girl, Sophia, who's wonderful. She's going to be in eighth grade right next year. But the Rapicons, they give back to the community. Chris Rapicon's been here since the inception, and just can't say enough about the family. The family owns the Jiu-Jitsu Rapicon Martial Arts in Vallejo. So they're big in the community. They give back, and just a great, great family.
Well, we certainly remember the name Rapicon when we have been here in past years broadcasting ball games. And we remember the guy next door to us here who runs the clock. He's the softball coach for the Wolves. That's Roger Harris, his wife also on the faculty staff at American Canyon High School. And
you got to watch out for that Roger, Ira. He's a character.
I don't think you can hear us.
He knows we're talking about him.
Also, in boys basketball over here at American Canyon, Brett Wedding, a Vintage High graduate who actually coached some at Vintage, has done a heck of a good job with the program here. And, Billy, I don't know if you follow basketball or not, but that's right around the corner.
Yeah, I do. Mr. Wedding's a wonderful guy. He has turned that program around. I think he got him to the playoffs last year for the first time, if I'm not mistaken. But he's done a great job, and I need to get out and watch some basketball here soon after the football season.
Angela Davis working with the girls' basketball program as well. And how can we forget the baseball coach, Matt Brown, who has quite a list of his Napa Indian past there as far as playing there. His father was athletic director, baseball coach, took the Indians baseball team to a section championship. Just
Matt grew up coaching baseball, so he knows baseball inside and out.
And next year, American Canyon will be in the same league with Napa and Vintage, and the other three teams in the league include Justin Siena. It will be interesting to have those four Napa Valley teams, along with Sonoma Valley and two teams from Petaluma, the Petaluma High School team, and the Casa Grande Gauchos, also from Petaluma. So it'll be a seven-team league. It'll be in a new section. It'll be in, well, a new section for the teams that have been in the San Joaquin section. It'll be the North Coast section. And I guess one of the things that we'll be thinking about, you won't have to travel so far on Highway 80 on a Friday night.
No, but 12 can get a little busy over there, too, Ira, if you're if you're going to go to Petaluma, getting through that 121, 12, 116 three-way stop. That can be a little enduring.
Yeah, you about have to try to go toward Sonoma and head out from that direction. Well, coming up on Saturday night, we have Golden State Warriors back on the air. As they've won five games in a row now, and they will be hosting a muchly improved Philadelphia team. That'll be a 7:30 tip-off on KVON on Saturday night. The Sharks are also back in action, as the San Jose Sharks will host Vancouver with a 7 o'clock face-off. And the Justin Siena Braves will be playing football at Monroe Catholic, that's in Hayward. Monroe, that'll be a 7 o'clock start. And Sonoma Valley will be at San Jose Harker High School for playoffs, too. Well, we're ready now. Let's get set here as it will be kickoff time for the Wolves, and Jose Luis B. Lopez getting set to kick off. And we'll see what the Falcons can do now with a return. As the kick, it's a little squib-type kick going back to the 21-yard line taken there by Mergulia. And he breaks the tackle. The 40, 45, 50 takes the ball into Wolves territory, the 45, and is hit and spilled by the guy that kicked off. So Lopez was finally able to get in there to stop what was a great return by Johnny Mergarala at 37 yards.
Well, Ira, I'm not quite sure. You know, the first kickoff, they kicked it in the end zone, AC that is. Then they've tried two quick squib kicks. This one backfired.
Barnes over on the right side, and they run to the right side with Strickland. Carey breaks through the middle. He gets down to the 30 and tripped up there at the 30-yard line. Evan Strickland, 5'9", junior.
River Valley coming out with a buck sweep. Tight end right. Backs left, dove the fullback, give to the back, coming across the right. Right side blocks down, the two guards pull, kick out.
Going from our left to, or from our right to our left, and it is Strickland again carrying around the right end and cuts in at the 26-yard line where he's brought out. Maybe they're going to spot it back at the 27-yard line.
Exact same play, Ira. This is where you got to follow the guards. The guards will take you where the football's at.
Exactly.
Linebackers have to be disciplined. Stay at home.
The guards will always take you to the play when you're the middle backer. That's the rule, right?
Well, we're just underway here in the second half. It'll be a 7-7 tie game, and they give us the first man going through. They work a trap play, and they did not get too much yardage on that quick trap opener. Taking it on the right side, and yeah. I was blocked out from who carried that. So did you see that, Billy, down there on the sideline?
Big fullback.
That was the fullback. Chris
Johnson.
Yes.
Chris had 107 yards in the first half. The handoff goes to Baker. Baker is hit.
That was a great play by Kama Alona right there. Great play by Kama.
Yeah, Alona turned it back in and let his teammates come for support.
Followed him laterally over to the to Alona's right. Brought him down to the 25-yard line. It's going to be fourth down and 4 yards to go. So this is an important play here in the red, getting close to that red zone. See if the defense can hold up to this McPeak play as he keeps the ball. McPeak is going to run with it. He's angling for the sideline, picks up a first down, then steps out of bounds, and he falls down after he got out of bounds. I don't see a flag, so I don't think one of the defenders over there knocked him down. I think he fell down under his own power of just crossing that sideline, picking up the first down.
Gutsy call there, Ira. Basically, it's just a naked bootleg. He's out there by himself, and the flow was going left, and he bootlegged back to the right.
From the 15-yard line, hands off this time to the second guy. Spinning and trying to get in is Rex Baker. He gets close to the 10, but just outside the 10 at about the 12-yard line. It was Rex Baker stopped after about a 4-yard gain on the play. Second down and perhaps at maybe just 3 yards, 3 or 4 right in between there. Cornerback is Dawson McPeak, and he goes with the first man, trapped right side, did not get much yardage there. He'll bring up a third down as they went with the fullback, Chris Johnson, for some short yardage. They have the ball at the 10-yard line. They have to get to the 5-yard line for a first down. We're at the 9-minute mark of the third quarter in a 7-7 tie.
American Canyon play a little more stout here, Kent, in the middle.
Yep.
Barnes out to the right side. The quarterback keeps the ball, cuts in at the 10-yard line. He's hit and dropped there for no gain. They have lost a yard. That'll bring up fourth down. And do they go for it or do they kick? Try a field goal. They're gonna.
We have an injury on the play here.
And it's one of the Wolves. I don't know.
I think it was the guy who made. I think it's
Calderon. No.
Looks like 31 Calderon. 31,
yeah, yes.
Yeah, Alfredo, it is Alfredo Calderon. Calderon. He's been one of the leading tacklers, tied for fifth in tackles this year on the squad for the Wolves. The leading tackler has been Anicetti. Second leading tackler for the team. Let's see, do I have that? The third leading tackler was Hunter Snyder. We had a tie for first with Eric Stewart and Anicetti.
Ira, it's going to be a real interesting call what River Valley does here. You want to go for a field goal, fourth and a long three inside the 10. Try to pick up that first down, try to get six here. That's going to be a gutsy call on Coach Humphreys. Big stand-up play for American Canyon here if they do decide to go for it.
With defense prevailing the way it has and those short yardage tough to pick up with that linebacker core and the defensive secondary coming in a little tighter, makes some short yardage a little tougher there for the Falcons.
Well, you have McPeak who can just, you know, fake the ball and hide the ball so well, so you really have to stay disciplined on the linebacker stats. And as Billy was saying, American Canyon, you know, those first two series there, those first couple downs, River Valley was taking it to American Canyon. Now they've kind of, you know, bowed their neck and stood up to them.
River Valley's JV team had a winning season. They were 5-4. The game that they did not play was against Wilsey Wood because of the fire situation. They did not make that up. What about the team from American Canyon on the JV front, Billy? Do you know much about how they finished?
I think they only lost two, Ira. But they finished strong. Their last game, they beat Benicia, which Benicia had one of the better JV teams. I don't know the actual record, but I know they finished pretty strong and maybe only lost two games.
Well, American Canyon lost to Intercom early in the season, 53-0. In fact, American Canyon lost their first three games at the start of the season. Then they won six in a row after that. And then River Valley last week. River Valley, when they played Intercom, lost 25-20. And here's the play. They're going to go for it. And the player falls down as the give was to Chris Johnson as he started to sprint to the left. He slipped and went down, and it is a hold for the defense.
Kent, that was big right there. I mean, he never got his footing. He just tripped over his own feet.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think they would have had him wrapped up, but, you know, that's a big stop for American Canyon. Boost of confidence there. See if they can get some series of downs going here and move the chains, a couple of them, no penalties.
They're at their own 9-yard line. They're close to that north end zone there, heading toward the our right to the south. 91 yards to go as C puts Johnson in motion and hands it off as they try. Oh, they get it to Johnson. Johnson sprints out, turns the corner, gets down close to first down territory.
Johnson made a great move right there to get out of a tackle. I think he stepped out, but he could have been caught about 2 yards in the backfield, but he made a great little move right there.
Yeah, that pitch was a little low and behind him. Made just
yes,
a nice
was.
Catch to get the pitch. And then, like you say, made a nice move to get out from taking a loss and getting positive gain yards there.
Pick up of 7 yards on the play. It's second down and 3 yards to go for the Wolves. They get set now with C under center, putting a man in motion, pitching to the motion guy, and it is Alona picking up the first down, the 30, the 40, he's down to midfield, down the sideline, the 40, the 30, he's down to the 20, the 15, the 10, he's hit from behind, falls down to the 5-yard line. A tackle that saved a touchdown by Johnny Mergulia. Mergulia got him after a 76-yard gain. Wow.
Alona put it in another gear, and he hit the outside. It was just,
you know, he didn't realize that guy was right behind him. I could see it from up here, Billy. He kept looking at the guy on the inside. He actually slowed just a shade where if he knew that guy was behind him, I think he would have kept it in that high gear. What a block on Johnson on the outside to free him up, though.
Almost had his seventh touchdown of the season. They actually put his knee down, he said, at the 8-yard line. So it's first and goal to go. And C hands off as Birdsong takes it inside the 5-yard line. Eddie Birdsong getting it down to about the 4-yard line, where it'll be second down and goal to go. Heading in toward that south end zone.
It's just what American Canyon needed, Ira. Keep the ball on the ground, eat up the clock, keep the ball out of River Valley, march down the field, and put points on the board.
Stewart goes out wide to the right side. Brown out to the left side. C under center. And he gives to Eddie once again, and Eddie Birdsong is stopped. Just looks like about a yard shy of the goal line.
Yeah, I think he's on the 1 or the half-yard line. I can't quite tell.
I just think he just keep feeding him like that because he's going to get it. I don't think he should do anything else but just give it to Birdsong right here.
Third and goal.
Tight double wing here, Ira.
They give to Birdsong. He tries to power over right tackle, and he's still moving, and he is in! Touchdown, American Canyon! Eddie Birdsong kept the feet moving, kept going, gets his second touchdown of the ball game, and the second touchdown for the Wolves, coming with 6:37 to go in the third quarter.
Nice play, Ira. Just a good drive all the way. It was a course set up with the big run by Alona.
Jose Luis B. Lopez to attempt the extra point. He's a left-footed kicker, and his extra point try is up and over. So there's timeout now. 6:37 to go. We're in the third quarter, and the score is the American Canyon Wolves 14, the River Valley Falcons 7. Well, after a long 76-yard run by Alona there, it took only a total of 5 plays for the Wolves to get into the end zone, going 91 yards in those 5 plays, a minute 48, and the kick is a good one, way back, soars into the end zone, a touchback, out to the 20-yard line.
I was interested what AC was going to do here, if they're going to kick it deep or try another squib, and you know, if you got somebody who could put it in the end zone, it just needs to go there.
Oh, yeah. That, I tell you, Jose Luis B. Lopez looking good tonight in the kicking.
And, now you got River Valley.
And he's doing it with his left foot.
Right. And you got River Valley starting on their 20 instead of midfield when they try to squib kick it.
Kit, you couldn't be more right. I mean, I don't understand why the little squibs and then giving the ball midfield or close to it.
Right.
Exactly. Make them go the distance, you know.
McPeak, they hand off right side as Strickland carries for a short yardage as he wanted to sweep that right side, and then as he cut in, he was able to get just a couple of yards on the carry. Second down and 8 coming up.
Ira, the defensive backs are doing a much better job at fighting off the blocks from the receiver. That time it was Brandon Johnson fighting off the block and then forcing that play back inside where you have pursuit from your teammates to come in and make the tackle.
Let me tell you, this Strickland kid came up, or Kamalona came up and gave the Strickland kid, it gave him a lick. He was shaking up a little bit.
Dawson McPeak, he's a 6'3 junior quarterback, listed at 175. He's got some good strength. And passes over the middle. It is caught for a first down across the 30-yard line by Rex Baker, and the 6-foot junior that made the reception gives them a first down at the 33-yard line.
That play's open all night long, Ira. They've run that a number of times where the inside receiver goes down and just basically runs about a 12-yard curl, sits, and McPeak finds him.
Just 11-yard pickup, but gets the first down. McPeak hands off. They go right up middle. Will angle a little bit to the right, but just get a couple of yards on the carry that time. And looked like, was that Neva on the no, it must have been Strickland, but the way his jersey was crampled up.
Yeah, I think
it was Strickland. He's hobbling a little bit as he comes up to the line of scrimmage now on second down and 8. Quarterback play action. firing down the left sideline, way out of reach. The pass was intended for Nick Barnes, but was pretty well covered on the play by Darius Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas did a great job. The receiver, Barnes, was just running a wheel route, if you will, out and up. Thomas was all over him.
He had great position right on his hip. It was perfect coverage.
You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country, streaming on the Internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry and our sideline reporter, Bill Gutierrez, this is Ira C. Smith. Dino Alessio with the stats. Quarterback McPeak fires down the middle, and it is caught at the 30-yard line out of the 25. A great over-the-shoulder catch on the play, and it is getting the ball deep into the territory for the Wolves as Strickland was the receiver, 41 yards on the play.
He threw a strike there.
And they trap up the middle, get a short gain. Defense doing a good job against that trap as the fullback, Chris Johnson, got, see where they put it down there at the 22-yard line, a gain of 2 yards.
Ira, back to that pass play. Strickland just ran a seam route from that little wing position, beat right up the seam and just beat Coma Alona by a step, and the ball was delivered. Right on the money. Beautiful pass. Nice catch.
4.5 minutes to go. 14-7. We're in the third quarter. McPeak's pass is caught over on the right side. Just a little angle there to the sideline by Rex Baker. And Baker got about 3 yards on the reception to make it third down and 5 yards to go from inside of the 20-yard line. Make it the 19-yard line. Inside of 4 minutes to go. We're in the third quarter now as American Canyon's leading 14-7. But it is River Valley that is threatening. McPeak rolls back. He play action, fires, and it is incomplete. I think it was intended for Nick Barnes, but Barnes wasn't sure that was intended for him. He had Evan Strickland as the short man, and Barnes is the long guy going toward the sideline.
Yeah, I think the ball was just misdelivered to one of those two. I couldn't quite tell.
That's his fifth or sixth pass in a row right there. They're not shy of throwing the ball down here.
Another big play here.
They're kicking a field goal.
Ira, yep, I would.
Yeah. It's a fourth down. It will be a 36-yard field goal attempt for Topete. And his attempt is up, and it is no good. Off to the left of the upright. So with the unsuccessful field goal attempt, the American Canyon Wolves will get the ball, leading it 14-7. We'll see if we can get an update on that Vintage score. Vintage was leading at halftime in their game against the number 2 seed Intercom in Sacramento.
I'm going to see if I can get an update from Cam Neal, the athletic director of Vintage. Has been feeding me some messages here. Let me see if I can get one here for you, Ira.
Here come the Wolves up to the line of scrimmage to the 20-yard line. Back to pass. He fires it down the middle, and it's overthrown. The pass was intended for Eric Stewart. Just a little bit out of his reach. He had some double coverage on him back there. Stops the clock with 3.5 minutes to go here in the third quarter. So the ball remains there at the 20-yard line where it's second down and 10 yards to go.
Kid, I kind of don't like the play call there. I kind of would just grind it, right?
No, you got to go back to the ground game.
Absolutely. I don't understand putting it up in the air at that point.
See? Puts Johnson in motion. And they work in the draw play right up the middle on the handoff to Joel. And he gets across the 30 out to the 31 and picks up check it. That was Alona. Alona.
Yeah, okay. Underneath counter there, Ira. Just coming in there, showing action to the left. And Alona coming back underneath on the from the left side to the right.
Exactly.
Good misdirection. Move the chains. Eat clock. you know.
Exactly. The pitch now has got them weary, so they fake the pitch, come back underneath with the counter. You're absolutely right.
Yep. They're trying to cover Johnson on that fake pitch.
Yes.
Just very wide out Robin Brown to the left side. So he puts Johnson motion, or Aloma, and they get out to about the 35-yard line. As
Coach Singer really upset. Birdsong has a face mask
That was a face mask all the way, guys. Yeah. It couldn't even be more clear.
Yeah, right in front of this sideline official, too.
Well, Birdsong is listed at 5'11", 202 pounds, and he is really solid. He takes some pretty big hammering in there at that fullback slot. He helps set some pretty good blocks in there, too. And then when he carries the ball, he carries with power. He is the single setback there. The wing to the right, Johnson going in motion. And the quarterback on the option pitches it over to Johnson, and he is hit for no gain. A lot of yardage, but it was all to the side. All lateral there, and Johnson's brought down.
I'm watching what River Valley's doing, and the reason why C can't pull that ball from Birdsong is they're penetrating his lanes. So there's nowhere for him to go. If he were to take that and try to get to the outside, he doesn't have it outside. He'd have to take it and follow right behind Birdsong.
Okay.
From the 35-yard line in their own territory, the Wolves come up to the line of scrimmage with Birdsong as the single setback. And see the quarterback pitches it back to Alona. Alona at the 35. They grab him by the jersey and wheel him around as Dean Rice, the junior, just grabbed the jersey of Alona.
Yeah, Alona was looking for a hole, Ira. He was looking for a hole and just kind of took his time, you know, being patient. But then the defender was able to pull him down.
Minute 10 to go. We're in the third quarter. 14-7 is the score with American Canyon in the lead, and that brings up a fourth down, and they're going to look to punt the ball away. And who do they have out there to punt?
Number 7. Oh, they have Grimlick out here.
Yeah, Lucas Grimlick is going to be punting instead of C. Lucas gets the punt away. It's a wobbly one coming down, taking a good bounce down to the 30-yard line as it took a positive bounce and wound up 33 yards and no return on the punt.
So, Ira, here's another update from Sacramento. It's definitely a shootout going on up there. Indicom has driven 70 yards in 7 plays, now leads the ball game 28-24 midway through the third quarter.
Okay. Wow, this game is running a little ahead of that game then. Well, here we go. Falcons with the ball. And the handoff right side to Strickland. Strickland, boom, he's dropped it about the 34-yard line. Tried to turn that corner, make the cut in, and was brought down for a short gain on the play. Might be the final play of the quarter with inside of 20 seconds to go. They spot the ball at the 34-yard line, 10 seconds to go. And they come up over the ball. They're going to get a play underway here before the quarter ends. And they hand off to the fullback, and he rambles through, and looks like Chris Johnson is close to a first down. Depends on where they spot the ball. They're going to spot it, so it's going to be about a yard shy of a first down. But that will end the third quarter. So here we are at Wolf Den Stadium after three quarters of play, and the score of the host, the American Canyon Wolves, 14. The River Valley Falcons from Yuba City, 7. The Wolves are on the defense here at Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon, California. Coming up to the line are the Falcons as they have two wideouts to the left side. They run to the middle as they just work another little trap play with the fullback Chris Johnson. See how many yards Johnson had. He had 107 at halftime.
He's up to 116 now, Ira. Yeah.
He has not been picking up much yardage. How many carries?
He's only carried four times in the second half.
For less than 10 yards. He is the only setback now as the quarterback is back to pass, looking, firing down the middle, and there's a flag on the play. The pass was intended for Nick Barnes, but was incomplete. That was just a straight down.
Got a flag here, Ira.
Yeah.
I don't know where that. Oh, so it's offensive pass interference. I don't know where that was coming from.
It's called a. I thought it was back thrown like toward the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, well, it was the back judge that threw it. I mean, it was. I didn't think it was that was his call, but it was. If it was, I thought it would be a hold or something, but it was. I guess it's an offensive pass interference.
That takes the ball back to the 26-yard line. They are in Falcon territory. The Falcons with the football.
Definitely a mix-up in that.
They have to get into Wolves territory, the 49-yard line, for a first down. They got a long way to go, and the quarterback is back to pass, fires. The pass is complete to Barnes. Barnes is nailed right away at the 35-yard line, still in their own territory. So they have 16 yards to go yet to get a first down. We're just underway in the fourth quarter. 14-7 is the score. American Canyon has the lead. River Valley with the football at their own 35 at the left side hash marks. They're heading toward our right, toward that south end zone, and they send two wide outs to the right, tight end on the left, and they work the trap play again out to about the 40-yard line. Going to be about 10 yards shy of a first down as Chris Johnson looked for a little more blocking than he could get, and he is dropped at the 39-yard line.
There's a big play here for American Canyon, Ira. Third and 11. They need a big stop here.
They have double wides to the left. Quarterback rolls out to his left. Looks, fires over there, and it is incomplete, intended for Austin Nair. Stops the clock now with 10.5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter.
And that's a stop there, guys. They're going to have to punt this.
Should force them to punt.
Yes.
Right.
They will... punt ball on third down and about 12 yards to go.
If I'm not mistaken, Billy, I thought I saw C in there coming on the pass rush.
Yeah, he got to get in a few plays.
McPeak on the punt. It's a high one. Good coverage allowed. And it takes a good bounce. And it's right into the hands of
Brandon Johnson.
Yeah, Brandon Johnson as Brandon comes to the left sideline and is driven out of bounds there. The ball just bounced right to Johnson. He took it. There is a flag down on the play.
It's a block to the back.
Block to the back on American Canyon.
35-yard punt on the play and some return there by Johnson. So that will be a penalty assessed against the Wolves. It'll take the ball back deeper into their own territory as LeVar C., the quarterback, comes in. How did C. do last year as a junior on the varsity?
He was a receiver because they had their quarterback, Derek Antes. So C. had a good year playing quarterback and then outside linebacker. He was always the backup quarterback.
On the option, the pitch goes to Aloma. Aloma, and there's a flag drop as he is dropped at the 32-yard line. But Kama Aloma, as he took the pitch out on the option, and then as he was hit and went out of bounds, a flag came up. Haven't had an indication yet against whom. It's going to be penalty. Illegal use of the hands again against the Wolves.
Calling that on the wideout, Eric Stewart out there.
Yeah.
Well, this big Lucas Gramlich, he is that big 6'7", 290-pound senior. Any idea if he's going to play football next year?
He's got an offer on the table right now from Fresno State. LeVar C. has a couple offers from Davis. And I believe it's New Mexico State in Nevada, Las Vegas. So they're getting looked at.
LeVar C., under center now, back from his own at the 19-yard line. And there's another flag on the play as they go straight up the middle across the 25 out to about the 27 yard.
That's coming back. He had two guys in motion at the same time.
All these penalties again now, Kent. Here we go. I mean, we got to
shoot themselves in the foot here.
Exactly. Birdsong was trying to carry, was trying to pick up some yards, but the penalties are starting to be a factor here as far as field position is going to be concerned for the Falcons.
This is the part of the game right now where you want to use the clock, grind it, clean plays, but now we're just doing the opposite here and shoot ourselves in the foot with the penalties. And
it's back to the 16-yard line. 9.5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. 14-7 to score. American Canyon with the football and the lead, but they're back at their own 16-yard line. As C again gets under center, wide outs either side. Putting Alona started in motion, and they instead give the ball to Birdsong. Birdsong, the 30, the 35, turns the corner at the 40, is pushed and goes out of bounds at the 45-yard line after a pickup of a first down and good yardage.
And that was the same play they ran before there, just a quick trap. And that time, I almost thought both backs were in motion again, Billy. I don't know if you saw that or not.
24-yard pickup. The ball is at the 40-yard line now for a first down for the Wolves. Again, they send wide outs to either side. Very seldom do they throw to them. And see, as he fakes to Birdsong, keeps the ball. He's the 45, the 50. He's down the left side, inside the 30, and is tackled inside the 25-yard line. A fake on the handoff to Birdsong, and a keeper for LeVar C, and goes 38 yards for a first down at the 22-yard line.
And, Ira, that's why he has scholarship offers. Did you see the speed that he just turned on? Unbelievable.
I saw some good moves there, particularly up front.
But if his scholarship offers are looking at outside linebacker, he's that's where he's going to play. He needs to bulk up a little bit, but he is a prototypical with his speed, and he gets a little weight on him. He'll be great at outside back.
Birdsong is the only setback now. Putting Alana in motion, giving to Birdsong. He breaks through. He's inside the 15, down to the 10, down to the 6-yard line, and is tripped up there by Enrique Correa, a 235-pound, 6-foot junior.
Birdsong is just grinding them now.
I tell you, you know, that play there, Billy, I don't like to make comparisons, but it reminded me of a back from the Oakland Raiders right there.
Yes, it does, and that was the deal. We were calling him Beast Mode when that first game, it was just ridiculous. He looks just like him. Runs just like him.
All right, it's first down. 7 yards to go for the touchdown. First and goal to go. The pitch goes to Alona, the 5, the 4, the 3, the 2. But there's a flag as he gets into the end zone. Let's see if this is called back. And it will be a 10-yard holding penalty will be assessed against the American Canyon Wolves.
Wow.
Negating that Alona touchdown.
And they call that on Brandon Johnson. What's funny about that, Billy, Brandon Johnson was being pushed back.
Exactly.
And they called it on him.
I didn't see the hold there.
That was a bad call right there.
Bad call there.
Basically, officials have not done a bad job.
They haven't.
Dean has been doing a good job as referee.
That's the first play call I've seen that we can say, you know, that one was not deserved.
Takes it back outside the 10, out to the 14-yard line. So it's still first down, but goal to go from the 14-yard line. Birdsong is the single setback there. Alona starts in motion, and the pitch comes to Johnson. Johnson has no place to go, and he's dropped for a big loss. Covering him up over there was Eric Sandoval. And that will be another loss back to about the 22-yard line. Well, they started out at the 7-yard line.
Let's see what Coach Singer has here, Ira. See if they come back with a little counter or some type of pop pass just to get some yardage back.
The clock shows 7:20 to go here in the fourth quarter. American Canyon leading at 14-7, and they have the ball now on second down. Goal to go. C is throwing toward the end zone, and it is nearly picked off as he was lucky to get out of there without the interception there.
So, Ira, here's where you want to go. You want to get some yards here and get yourself in field goal range and put 3 points on the board. That would force River Valley to score twice.
Eric Stewart was the intended receiver on the play for the Wolves, stopping the clock with 7 minutes and 6 seconds to go here in the fourth quarter. American Canyon leading at 14-7.
The penetration right here from River Valley, I wouldn't be surprised if they do a little screen right here.
They haven't used the screen at all.
No, they haven't. Yep. And they're getting the penetration where they could slip through it.
Well, they haven't had that much of a rush as far as the blitz on the play. As C takes the snap, rolls out to his right. There's the blitz, and his pass is incomplete.
And there's a screen.
There was a screen and the blitz both at the same time, and the blitz was able to get through the you want to let them through, but you've got to complete your path. And the intended receiver was pretty well covered.
They had it set up, Ira.
Fourth down. Are they going to try a field goal? That would give them a 10-point lead if they can connect.
About a 40-yarder here.
Okay, well, what can we expect on this Jose Luis B. Lopez?
He can make it. He can make about a 49, 50-yarder. Watch this. He's going to put one.
Freddie Tenbrink will hold.
And there's a timeout. And they had to call that because they had personnel problems getting out on the field. Someone was late getting out on the PA team. Coach Singer's forced to burn a timeout so they don't get backed up 5 yards here.
Well, they had their allotted 11 players on the field, but...
One of them was getting out late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Freddie Tenbrink is a junior, the guy that's going to be holding. You know, I'm impressed with so many of these guys that are underclassmen on this team, particularly Eddie Birdsong. No, he is just a junior. And the kicker... Lopez is just a junior. We'll see how he does on this field goal attempt. It's going to be about a 39-yard field goal attempt. And it's from between the hash marks, so it's about in the middle there, right near the 30 at the 29. A 39-yard attempt with the left foot. The kick is on the way. It is up, and it is good! 39-yard field goal is good by Jose Luis B. Lopez. Exactly 7 minutes to go now. And here's the score from Wolf Den Stadium. The host, American Canyon Wolves 17 and the River Valley Falcons 7. All right, well, we're ready for the kickoff now as Lopez has teed up the ball at the 40. Here comes his approach to the football, slams it. Oh, that is going deep into the end zone. He could almost get a field goal kicking off there. That soared. He had the wind behind him on that kick, but not much of a wind. The wind has really died down.
Yeah, that ball was kicked, but I told you he could probably kick a 50-yard field goal or whatever. He kicked 39, and it wouldn't have gone 40. Let me tell you, it was barely made.
Well, they get that field goal after going 53 yards in six plays, but they did use 3 minutes and 13 seconds off the clock. So with exactly 7 minutes to go now, here comes Dawson McPeak up to the line. He's back to pass. He passed, and it is complete to Johnson. Chris Johnson away from one, hit by another around the 26-yard line. They need to get to the 30 for a first down. That was...
Just hitting the back out of the backfield, Ira, hitting the short receiver. But American Canyon did a much better job at rallying up and making the gang tackle right there, holding them to 5 yards or so.
This is going to be a McPeak air show right here, this last series here.
McDosk in the first half was 4 out of 11, and he hands off there as they look for running room, and they get stopped at about the 29-yard line, just shy of a first down. As Strickland was just short there.
That field goal was huge because River Valley now has to
score twice
to either tie or go ahead. Big, big field goal there.
And they're back in their own territory at the 29-yard line, needing a yard for a first down. And they go right up the middle and just barely get the first down. And they power for another yard or so afterward. As the fullback, Chris Johnson, was able to go about 3 yards on the play. They quickly get back to the line of scrimmage, and McPeak takes the snap. Hands, no, he doesn't have a play action. His pass is complete to Barnes. Barnes at the 40, hit at the 45, and is dropped right there as Darius Thomas from his strong safety position makes the tackle. Right at the 45-yard line where it's a first down, still in their own territory. Clock is still moving. 5:40 to go here in the fourth quarter, 17-7 to score. American Canyon in the lead. River Valley on the rollout. Get the fullback is carrying, and Chris Johnson is down right at midfield.
Ira, you're starting to see some fatigue on American Canyon, especially from a lot of these players.
Yes.
Have been going both ways.
Exactly. They're a little gassed right now.
Dawson McPeak completed passes for just 44 yards in the first half. He's going to the airway now on play action. Now he's going to keep the ball. He's running with it. Picks up a first down. He's down the 40, the 35, and boom, he goes out of bounds at about the 33-yard line. Nice play by the quarterback.
And you had LeVar C. in there. He was the one that created the pressure that made McPeak run. And it was a good scramble for him picking up the first down.
Yeah, on that play, he got 17 yards on the carry.
See, American
they stepped
Canyon
out of bounds, stopping the clock with 4:55 to go. Has a single setback here. And he hands off, going through the middle and picking up some yards is Baker. Baker is inside the 25, down to the 20, has the first down, and then he goes down. Baker on the carry for the first down, down to the red zone now at the 20-yard line.
Yeah, River Valley coming back with a little underneath counter of their own that time. American Canyon's got hands on hips. They can't make tackles. They're just reaching out and grabbing. They are
trailing by 10. River Valley on the move. They hand off, and they're going to lose yardage on this play. They hand off and looked for an opening in the line, but could not find it. And just trying to figure out who carried that time. It may have been Rice. I think Dean Rice was the ball carrier on that. And play action pass toward the end zone. Incomplete, intended for Rex Baker. Stops the clock with 4 minutes and 7 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. American Canyon leading it 17-7. The winner of this game will play the winner of the, is Manteca and Rio Americana game that's being played tonight in Manteca.
We got a timeout here, Ira.
Yeah.
American Canyon needs it.
Exactly. That's and I was just watching Singer, and they were saying they're tired. They need timeout.
They're completely gassed, is right.
4 minutes and 7 seconds to go, and a 10-point lead for the Wolves. Any update with check in with the Vintage scoreboard at last time? Vintage, which had a halftime lead, had fallen behind in the third quarter.
So at the end of the third, it is still 28-24, Intercom over Vintage at the end of the third.
So they're just going into their fourth quarter there, and we're about finished with our fourth quarter with 4 minutes and 7 seconds to go. And the ball is at the 20-yard line of the Wolves, going toward that south end zone. Dawson McPeak has gone all the way, as has LeVar C. for the Wolves. Single setback is Johnson. And they work a reverse, and it's not going to work as Rex Baker is pulled down for a loss on the play. They nearly got him for a bigger loss, but he was able to shake off a would-be tackler and get back to about the 22-yard line.
I think that was C. Was that C down there, Bill?
That was C. That's why he's going to go play linebacker. That's what he does. That's a great play. And the guy made a great play by not going down, and then he had to tackle him again.
So I think they're going to go for a field goal here, Ira, match it up.
Yeah, it was fourth down and 12 yards to go This will also be a 39-yard field goal. It's on the way, and it is also good, and that wouldn't have gone much farther either, but a pair of 39-yard field goals, one for each team, and it is 17-10 with 3:21 to go. Huge possession coming up now for the Wolves. And the officials are conferring out there on the center of the field. I'm not sure about what that is, but you can imagine that the American Canyon Wolves will keep the ball on the ground to work on the clock. They lead by a touchdown and an extra point with 3:21 remaining here in the fourth quarter.
Kit, do I smell an onside kick here? Do you think onside?
You got to be, you know, you got to be alert for it.
Absolutely. Because you certainly don't want them to have the ball and run it out. You
know? I think they have all three of their timeouts remaining.
River Valley still has all three timeouts, all right. But you do have your hands team up there. They're expecting it or looking for it.
Topete, who just got that field goal as they had gone 58 yards in seven plays, but they used 3 minutes and 39 seconds off the clock. Topete's approach. And he sails it down. It is going to go into the end zone and kicks out of the end zone. And so it'll be a touchback to the 20-yard line.
So, Ira, here's the big possession right here. This 3 minutes, 21 seconds. Got to keep the ball on the ground, force River Valley to use their timeouts. Need to get 4 or 5 yards a pop here. Move the chains. You got to move the chains. No turnovers, no penalties.
And you got to tell the runners, do not go out of bounds. You've got to stay in bounds at all costs.
Exactly. Exactly.
Point.
All right, we're set now for the offense on the field for the Wolves. C will be under center. Johnson, wing on the right side, but the handoff goes to the fullback right up the middle, and he gets across it there. He breaks a tackle, and it is Johnson forced out of bounds, and then a flag for a late hit. As Brendan Johnson on the counter play, and he is hurt.
Yep, that was a counter. It's exactly what it was.
I think a cramp, the way he bent over there, looks like it was a cramp that that got him as he went out of bounds. Brendan Johnson in some pain down there.
I think they're going to call for horse collar, Billy. I couldn't quite see.
Darius Thomas is going to come in to replace Brendan.
Well, it was a late hit out of bounds, but then he did get him on a horse. I think he came down on his legs, but I think you're absolutely right. I think it is a cramp, but
yeah, 25 yards on the pickup.
You're going to get an extra 15 here.
Yeah, that is going to take the ball in to Falcon territory.
That's big right there. Really.
That was huge. He got 25 yards on the carry. Well-designed play. So, way to go there on the Chris Jepsen call, if he helped out on the call from the sideline. Takes the ball to the Falcons' 40-yard line. Still 3 minutes and 10 seconds to go. 17-10. American Canyon in the lead. Birdsong is still the fullback, and he carries this time. Did not get any yardage that time. They grabbed him down low. A good tackle in there by Gabe Bruce. Gabe is a senior. Just wrapped up Birdsong and wouldn't let him pick up any yardage on the play, but the clock keeps moving. That's what they want. 2:45 and counting down. C takes all of his time back there in the offensive huddle. They have one timeout remaining to the Wolves, but the Falcons have all three of their timeouts remaining. The give is to Birdsong again. He breaks one tackle but slips right into another and is downed at the 36-yard line.
Going to force River Valley up. They're going to call a timeout.
There they take their first timeout. They need to stop the Wolves on this particular drive and get possession of the ball. Right now, there are 2 minutes and 15 seconds remaining here in the fourth quarter of the game.
You know, that was their first timeout, and I don't know why we snapped it so soon. We could have just let the clock go a little more before each snap.
Well, the back judge was, or the field judge, excuse me, was moving his arm down, like counting down the final five or ten there.
Well, along with Kent Fry and our sideline reporter, Billy Gutierrez, this is Ira C. Smith, Dino Alessio with our statistics. We're here at the Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon for the CIF San Joaquin section Les Schwab Tire Football Division III playoff game. And the number 7 seed, American Canyon, is leading the number 10 seed, River Valley, out of Yuba City, 17-10. And C is under center. He has two setbacks this time. And he gets to the tailback, Alona. Alona gets to the 35 and is dropped there. So a short pickup, but that'll bring up fourth down. So
did River Valley take another timeout there, Billy?
Yeah, they did. They took their second timeout. But the clock shows 2:09. They have plenty of time with the passing of Dawson McPeak. He is he can throw that long ball.
This is where you want to get off a good punt.
Yeah, you want to watch number 13. He's been their leading receiver on the season. That's Nick Barnes.
Well,
he had 9 touchdown receptions this year and had almost 700 yards in receiving in those 10 games. So that was averaging about 70 yards per game in receptions. But he would be the number one you would look out for. And then you could look from out of the backfield, Rex Baker.
American Canyon's going to go for it here. They're going to go for this.
They're not going to punt. They are going to try to pick up the 5 yards they need for a first down. The ball is at the 35-yard line. See? And he keeps the ball, trying to run out the or run some of the clock down, and he is forced out of bounds with 2 minutes to go.
Billy, you got to question that play call right there.
I hate the play call, and I'm looking over at Matt Stewart right now, and he's looking at me laughing because he knows I'm just beside myself.
This is where you want to punt the ball and pin him down there within the 10-yard line.
March
him 90 yards instead of, you know, 65.
Well, the good thing on the play, if there was something good, Brendan Johnson was back on the field for that play. They pass, and it's caught at the 45-yard line to midfield, and then to the 47-yard line goes Nick Barnes. That's the one we said watch out for, and he caught the ball just down the middle. He was coming in on a slant.
Route. Yep, that's where the open zone there is, right in the middle of the field, Ira, about 10, 15 yards in the middle, right in that curl zone.
They got 17 yards on their first play, minute 40 and counting in the fourth quarter. The pass is dropped. Hit. They got the pass over to Evan Strickland, but he had to hold up and reach behind him, and it's just off his fingertips.
He was a little underthrown there, Ira. Yep.
A minute 35 to go as the incompleted forward pass stops the clock. 17-10 the score. American Canyon has the lead. River Valley has the football in American Canyon territory at the 48-yard line.
Plenty of time, really.
Second down, 10 yards to go. McPeak, let's see, the Wolves are calling their final timeout. So they'll take time, and we'll take time. We'll come back here in a moment with a minute 35 to go, and our score, American Canyon 17, River Valley 10. Well, getting set to come up to the line of scrimmage will be the offense from River Valley. And they hurry up to the line of scrimmage. Slot right, goes in motion, reverse. Coming to the right side is Strickland. Turns the corner at the 45. Down, out of bounds, he goes right around the 45-yard line.
That's coming back, Ira. You got a big-time hold on River Valley.
Ooh, that is really going to hurt them. That'll be a 10-yard penalty. That'll put them back into their own territory. But they do get the down over.
Let me tell you, they're lucky there was a hold there because they had an opening on this side that was I thought he was going to go.
So that is taking the ball back to the 40-yard line. And that is in Falcon territory. Intercom leading Vintage at last report near the end of the third quarter. Quarterback here is McPeak as he's back to pass. Fires, and the pass underthrown. Pass near midfield as the intended receiver, Nair, just could not get to the ball. Austin Nair, the intended receiver.
Yeah, Barnes came in from the outside, ran the curl route, and Nair coming out of that backfield just ran into to the flats since this ball was underthrown, like you said.
So it's going to be fourth down, or check a third down. Third down, and they're in four down territory, even though they're 60 yards away from the goal. A minute 22 to go. And there's the pass back to the quarter on the quarterback on the lateral. He fires it downfield, and it's intercepted at the 25-yard line, the 30, 35. It's Johnson with the ball to midfield. Johnson to the 45. Johnson to the 40. Johnson is hit and dropped to the 38-yard line. Wow.
River Valley trying a little trickery, Ira. They just ran the reverse, and then they threw it back to the quarterback.
Yep. 37 yards.
Underthrown there, and yeah. Johnson playing back there at center field picked it off.
Well, that's that specialty play that you work on all the time, where you lateral back to the quarterback after the handoff, and then the quarterback with the forward pass. But the coverage was excellent, not only by Brendan Johnson, but he had some help back here from Alfredo Calderon, who helped him run it back.
I kind of wish he would have just got down on the ground, really.
C is going to take the snap and put the knee down there in victory formation now as the clock is down to a minute three. The final timeout was taken there by the Falcons. In their Tri-County Conference, Intercom went 10-0 and won the league at 6-0. Yuba City, 6-4 overall, was 4-2 in the league, and then River Valley and Rio Linda each were 3-3. River City also was 3-3. Woodland was 2-4, and Pioneer from Woodland was 0-6. Pioneer finished the year 1-9. Woodland finished at 6-4, so they had a winning record, but did not get into the playoff.
And Ira, with 5 minutes left in the game up at Sacramento, Intercom has taken a 35-24 lead. So they've put 14 unanswered points on the board, Intercom has, in the second half.
Well, credit Vintage with a strong performance.
Absolutely.
In that first half.
And we all know that Intercom is nothing but a solid team.
They're
very, very solid.
10-0. They're highly ranked. Yeah. Number two seed in Division II with Granite Bay, number one. We know so well about Granite Bay, having been up here to broadcast games. All right, ready for play again, and it's just a knee that C takes. That'll run the clock down there. We're in the final minute. So this is going to send the American Canyon Wolves into the second round of play, and probably, we say probably because we're not sure what the final's going to be in that Manteca-Rio Americano game. Manteca is a number two seed, Rio Americano the number 15 seed. That'll be a week from tomorrow night. They're waiting now. This will probably be the last play of the game as C takes the knee. And the Falcons are just there, just watching. That's all they can do because the Wolves are walking away from the football now, letting the clock run down. And the sideline, the Wolves are starting to line up on the sideline. The players are starting to congratulate each other on the field. 5 seconds to go and counting down. 3-1. And that is it. As congratulations to the American Canyon Wolves as they have won the opening round. And congratulations for a good season to River Valley Falcons. But it is American Canyon that is the winner. And this is the fifth straight year in the playoffs for River Valley, and they have yet to win a game.
Well, let's see if maybe Billy can get an interview with the coach down there, Coach Singer, And but you're absolutely right. There's a big win for Coach Singer and the American Canyon Wolves, playing a solid team in the River Valley Falcons, who came down here in a great ground game, great passing attack. And this is just a great another win here for the Wolves in their short history, Ira. They've been to the playoffs quite a few times, and they're, make the playoffs again, six in a row, exactly. And now they're moving on to the second round. Great job.
Anything further on?
Yeah, it looks like it's a 35-24 intercom with just a couple minutes left in the fourth.
Well, we don't want to send it back to the studio yet in case Billy Gutierrez has a chance to get coach Larry Singer.
Get
on
out
the
there,
air.
Billy. Go
I'm
get
gonna,
him.
I think I'm going to get one. He told me he would. I want to let him address his team first, and then hopefully I can get a moment with him.
Well, some of the coaches went over and shook hands and congratulated Dawson McPeak on a great season. He was the quarterback for the Falcons. And so that ends the season for River Valley at 7-4. And for American Canyon, that is their seventh win in a row. They go to 7-3 overall.
It shows a balanced attack, Diver, because, you know, River Valley took Birdsong away. There's no doubt about it. But what a great balanced attack by the American Canyon Wolves. Here we got, I think, Coach Singer coming over to talk to Billy. Billy, just take it when you're ready.
Go ahead, Billy.
Coach Singer, thanks so much for meeting with me. Hey, great win. That's seven in a row. You guys grinded it out today. And then at the beginning, it was getting kind of hairy there because they had some, you know, they're on both sides of the ball. What did you do for adjustments? What was your adjustment?
You know, we talked about being in the right position and recognizing our checks. Made a couple adjustments to put our athletes in better spaces to, you know, to handle what we were seeing. Offensively, you know, went back to doing what we do. We weren't trying to get fancy. We were just trying to, you know, run the plays that we run well and keep working it.
Well, hey, another playoff win. Your second season being the head coach here. And it's your third. I'm sorry. My bad. Hey, outstanding. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You did a great job. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, man.
All right, guys.
Okay, we'll be back in a moment with our wrap-up on the game as the final score of the American Canyon Wolves defeat the River Valley Falcons of Yuba City 17-10. Well, we're back here at the Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon, the CIF San Joaquin Section Les Schwab Tires Football Division III playoff game wrap-up. I'm Ira C. Smith. We have Kent Fry with us, Billy Gutierrez, Dino Alessio here at the stadium. And in a little bit, we'll be selecting our player of the game for the Wolves. But in the meantime, let's check out some of the statistics in tonight's game as Dino Alessio is finishing compiling that information.
So first, let's do a quick second-half scoring summary. You'll recall at halftime, the score was 7-7. American Canyon tallied first in the second half. With 6:37 to go in the third quarter, Eddie Birdsong scored his second rushing touchdown of the game, taking the ball in from a yard out. That capped off a terrific 91-yard, five-play drive for the Wolves. The key play there being Kama Alona with a terrific 76-yard run that set American Canyon up inside the 10-yard line. The extra point by Lopez made it 14-7. Then American Canyon in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes to go. Lopez booted a 39-yard field goal, and that was critical as it gave the Wolves a 10-point lead. River Valley came back with 3:21 to go in the fourth quarter. Pepete, their kicker, also made a 39-yard field goal. That capped off a 58-yard drive, and that made it 17-10, but that was as close as River Valley could get as American Canyon wins this first-round section playoff game by a score of 17-10. Looking at some of the individual numbers, and these are impressive numbers, this was a statistician's dream tonight. A lot of stuff to talk about. For River Valley, their leading ball carrier was their fullback, Johnson, 24 rushes, 126 yards. Although it's interesting to note, that he had 107 yards at halftime, so he picked up only 19 yards in the second half. Strickland was second leading rusher with 68 yards on 8 carries. Baker had 40 on 9 carries. Tejada had 35 on 5 carries. I think he should have carried the ball more. He looked mighty good. And McPeak, the quarterback, 4 for 22. Altogether for River Valley, 51 rushing attempts, 291 yards rushing. And McPeak completed 11 out of 25 passing for 146 yards and the one interception that he threw right at the end of the game. For River Valley, 76 plays from scrimmage, and I've been doing this for 13 years, and that is the most plays I've ever seen a team run in a game, and particularly in a losing effort. 76 offensive plays, 437 yards of offense for River Valley, yet they scored only 10 points. For American Canyon, they ran the ball much more effectively in the second half than the first, and ended up, well, a leading ball carrier was Alona, who, thanks to that 76-yard run, ended up with 107 yards on 6 carries. Brandon Johnson had 6 carries for 64 yards. Eddie Birdsong, 16 carries, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns. And LeVar Say, 10 carries, 42 yards. For American Canyon, 38 rushing attempts, 297 yards rushing. LeVar C. completed 2 of 6 for 69 yards passing. So for American Canyon, 44 offensive plays, 366 yards, as the two teams combined for 803 total yards. The team numbers for River Valley racked up 19 first downs in this game, 12 rushing, 5 passing, 2 on penalties. They did struggle a bit on third down. River Valley converted just 3 of 10 on third down. They converted 2 out of 4 on fourth down. They lost 1 fumble and had 1 interception. They were penalized 6 times for 67 yards. American Canyon, the Wolves, had 15 first downs, 11 rushing, 2 on pass plays, 2 on penalties. American Canyon did not convert a single third down or a single fourth down. They were 0 of 6 on third down, 0 of 1 on fourth down. They didn't turn the ball over, though. They did rack up 8 penalties for 66 yards. And I'll be back with a couple of special stats in a few minutes.
Ooh, a couple. Wow. Well, do you want to do that before we select our players of the game or afterward? We'll give you that option. But let's get some comments here as the team from American Canyon advances on to next week. And maybe we'll find out before we leave here as far as if they go to Manteca or if Rio Americano upsets Manteca, they'll be right back here to Wolf Den Stadium. Of course, that's a number 2 hosting a number 15 seed, and that's the same thing Vintage is going against Intercom tonight. And let's check with Kent Fry to find out if we have an update on that.
Well, the last update we had was just about 2 minutes left. It was 35-24, Intercom over Vintage.
Mm-hmm. Just a reminder, too, that you're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, and we stream on the Internet at KVON.com. Well, Billy Gutierrez, what was it like on the sideline? Did you get a little chill out there?
Yeah, it was. It's, you know, you get a little itch there when you're on the sidelines around the players, around the coaches, and get the, you know, get the feel right there in the game. Like Kent and Dino said, it is a tale of two halves. I mean, the first half, River Valley came out and established themselves and was just going up and down the field on American Canyon. We were actually kind of concerned at half when we talked off air. But American Canyon made some adjustments, obviously. They played really good defense on the interior line on the second half and kind of put the pressure on River Valley. And then they had some big plays of their own. and the big Alona scamper was huge in the third quarter there. It seems that, American Canyon needs to, if they could just clean up the penalties and establish the run and use the clock to their advantage, they would be fine. They kind of, the penalties hurt them, and they overcame it, which was huge for them. And then they played some good defense in the second half, which was basically the difference in the game.
Well, it's interesting the way that the Wolves started this season, losing to Woodland 36-34. Following that, they took on Vintage of Napa here at American Canyon, losing at 28-14. Then their third game, they lost here at home to Intercom of Sacramento 53-0. Then Eddie Birdsall joined the team and was eligible to play. And then they started out the next game, defeating Will C. Wood of Vacaville, 42-29. Yes, the same Wood team that defeated Vintage in that costly loss to the Crushers. Then the second game that Birdsong was back was against Mission of San Francisco, and the Wolves won that one 34-22. Then they beat Vallejo at Corbis Field, 41-12. They beat Jesse Bethel, also at Corbis Field, by that same score, 41-12. Then they beat a very good Vanden team here at American Canyon, 27-20. Then they went to Benicia last week and won 41-7. And tonight with that win, that's seven in a row. The way to go.
Absolutely, yeah. And American Canyon's got a lot of weapons, Ira. That's what I like. And, you know, what Billy was saying, if they can just control the ball on the running ground, because that's their strength, there's no doubt about it. They have Alona, they have C,
so many.
Birdsong, you know.
Well, that
Brandon
brings
Johnson.
Us up, that brings you know, us up to the player of the game.
Well, yeah, you got balance. Such balanced team.
That's
there's
right.
No doubt about
we
it.
We could come up with four different ones.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Kent, since you're talking about them, we'll let you lead it off tonight.
I will give you that update from Manteca. I looked it up, and it's a running clock in the fourth quarter. Manteca over Rio Americano.
Rio Americano, yeah.
56-22.
Oh.
So Manteca definitely taking that victory tonight. That
so the Wolves will be on the road next Friday night, a week from
56-21. Excuse me, 56-21.
Okay, well, you get a lead off as far as selecting. Yeah. We'll just go to the American Canyon roster and just select somebody for the Wolves.
Well, you know, I already know who you're going to take.
No, you don't.
You always saw an oddball out there, you know. But, I mean, you could go Kama
Alona.
You're
not an oddball either, and you don't know who it is.
Brendan Johnson, Brandon C., you could go with. There's a lot of players you could go with.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, for me, though, it was Brendan Johnson. He had a great defensive night tonight.
He had that big one there towards the end.
And he had 64 yards on six carries. That's averaging over 10 yards a carry. Mm. You know, and he's not the star. You know, the star is Birdsong and the star is Alona. Mm. You know, those two guys. Mm. And so Brendan Johnson quietly had a superb
game. And he got that little sore that there
cramp,
toward the
that's
end.
That's because he's playing hard out
then
there,
he,
you know.
And, you know, came out for one play and got back in there.
So, you know, my star of the game is going to be, well, obviously many, but my star that stood out for me is Brendan Johnson tonight.
Okay, good pick. Let's go now with Billy Gutierrez.
I like that pick. That's a nice pick because not only is he a hard worker there, Kent, but he's a great kid. I've known the kid for about 7-8 years now. Coached him in youth football at American Canyon also. I could do that. I could play the card and go with co-players of the game, but I'm not going to do that. I got to give it to the bruiser, the kind of backbone, the kid that sets it all up because he gets beat up every time he touches the ball and he gets the 3 yards or the 6 yards or the 8 yards, whatever it is. But Eddie Birdsong. And there's a reason why there's seven straight wins is because Eddie Birdsong opens up everything else for this whole team to thrive on offense. And Eddie Birdsong is my player of the game.
He picks some good blocks out there, sets the picks nicely. Dino, we'll come to you.
I'm going with Lucas Gramlich. He played a whale of a game on the line and also had some great punts. And this was a game where field position was pretty darn important. There's one play in particular I was amazed. where he wiped out the man he was playing on offense. He wiped out the man he was blocking so much that he ran down the field, and he's very quick for a man his size. I say man because you can't call somebody
6'7",
290 pounds a boy. And he was leading the running back. He was ahead of the running back running like 20 yards downfield. He looks really, really impressive to me, and he's my guy tonight.
Okay, before I give you mine, since you mentioned Lucas Gramlich, he was the left tackle tonight, and some of these guys were in and out, but what I noticed was Hunter Snyder in there at center doing a real good job. And on the left side, beside Lucas, was Joseph Mendoza. He was at the guard spot that really helped out. Jacob Mitchell then on the other side is the right guard, and Sean Stowe Domingo, the right tackle. So credit that whole line with opening things up. But my player of the game, we'll see if Kent gets it right there, is going to be Jose Luis B. Lopez. Did you get it right, Kent? You got it. Because his kickoffs were sending him deep into the end zone, so they would be a touchback. They had to come out to the 20-yard line. He made that 39-yard field goal. He was perfect on the two extra points, giving him 17 out of 19 on the season. And, you know, at 6'3", you can see him out there. He's I thought did a really good job, and all of the guys we mentioned were good
picks, Ira. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and you could pick LeVar C. Yeah. out there too with the job he did, and of course Kama Alona,
right,
always in on the action. Eric Stewart had some really good moments, and I really liked what Dino said about Gramlich too. He's going to play at the next level, that's for sure. Now your special stats of the game.
Well, special stat of the game, one really obscure one. I think this might be the first game we've done in several years. All 12 timeouts were used. Both teams used all the three of their timeouts in the first and again in the second half. And that usually means you've got a pretty competitive game when every timeout gets used. But the other thing is the rushing yardage. 291 for River Valley, 297 for American Canyon, and American Canyon actually was at the 300-yard mark until the quarterback, C, took a knee three straight plays at the end of the game and lost 3 yards. So tremendous running attack for both teams, over 800 yards offense, a statistician's dream, and I'm hoping maybe we can do another American Canyon game before this season's over.
Well, you know, we are definitely going to be doing a lot of American Canyon, not only football, but other games next season, because they will be in the same league with Napa and Vintage and Justin Siena and Sonoma Valley and Petaluma and Casa Grande. It's going to be an interesting league. It's going to be a fun league.
It's going to be a fun league, is right. Mm. Yeah, with, you know, all four teams battling from the Napa
yeah,
County, AC
yeah.
and Vintage and Napa.
So,
and
you know.
And we don't know really anything about, you know, Casa Grande has always been strong, but we don't know a whole lot about Petaluma and Sonoma. So it will be fun.
So the final seven games of the season, we should have rivalries from the Napa Valley, at least one game involving a couple of the teams.
Absolutely.
There.
And now, you know, with the Vintage and Napa facing each other, don't be surprised to see Justin AC start up a rivalry here. That might be a new rivalry we see.
Either that or maybe Sonoma Valley, too. They're close to the same size as
right,
far as enrollment.
Justin, yep.
In case you wonder, which you probably weren't, as far as enrollment over at the Falcons territory there at the River Valley, their enrollment's right around 1,700. In that area, and so do we know, Billy, what the enrollment might be at American Canyon roughly?
I think we're right around the 1640, something like that, so we're pretty close to that.
Yeah, similar, and they're in the Division III and will be continuing next week as they travel to Manteca. Now, if they should win next week, they would probably, and I say this is probably because it's not a done deal, meet against Christian Brothers of Sacramento. Now, Benicia's playing tomorrow night against Christian Brothers. It'd be something if Benicia could win that game And also tomorrow night, Los Banos is playing Rio Linda. The two winners of those two games will meet the winner from the American Canyon Manteca contest, or one of those two. So that's just looking a little ways ahead. And it's in the lower bracket, while the number one seed, Oakdale, which American Canyon's very familiar with Oakdale, the cowboy territory that produces outstanding football in that region there, would be the number one team. And, by the way, the section championship game will be at Lincoln High School in Stockton. And that'll be on Friday, December the 1st. That'll be a 7 o'clock game at Lincoln for the Division III section championship. Be nice to see American Canyon and Oakdale play once again there. Billy, you'd go for that.
Yeah, I mean, the Oakdale team is, I mean, they always been strong every year, year in, year out. I mean, the feeder program they have from their youth football program all the way to the high school, they run the same offense, the same system. They're just, they're a juggernaut up there. And, you know, it's going to go through Oakdale, I'm pretty sure.
You had a son that played football just recently here, and I noticed there were some people asking you what your son is doing now. So perhaps you could update us on that.
Well, Nate started here at American Canyon for the last, actually in 2016 was his senior year. Had a spectacular high school campaign where he was a defensive player of the year and, of the league twice his junior and senior year. He was all area, all whatever. He was an all-state nominee for a linebacker. And then he played baseball for Mott Brown. And Nate's athleticisms in baseball has taken him to Solano College. And then this will be his second year at Solano. And he's got a decision to make going to play somewhere maybe local, pretty close, maybe a Sonoma State. Maybe Sac State or a Cal. So he's got some decisions to make after this year. He's had a great first year at junior college. He's a left-handed pitcher and outfielder and hits the ball for power a little bit. And we'll see.
No more football?
No. He had some looks. And, you know, he's 5'8", 180, and, you know, not many middle linebackers in the next level like that, but had a great high school career.
Well, our congratulations to the entire team there for the American Canyon Wolves, particularly Larry Singer in his third year as the head coach. 7 wins in a row. My goodness, that's something there. Before we sign off, I'd like to always get some final comments from Kent Fry.
Well, I think American Canyon, you know, obviously the program has been built and it's continuing on and they're just doing a great job. They faced a good, tough team tonight and they were tested, but they came through and that's a sign of a good winning program right there. They definitely have their work cut out, you know, cut down the penalties. You heard Billy saying earlier, cut down the penalties, sustain the drives, because the running game is definitely their power. And I liked what Coach Singer had to say at halftime. You know, he put some athletic players in on defense in that second half, and that you saw the defense improve, and specifically talking about C right there at that backer position. And so made critical. That's a good coaching decision on behalf of American Canyon right there, coming together as a staff and just say, okay, let's put some better players out where we need to be and stop this offense, powerful offense of River Valley. So I like American Canyon. I've always liked them. Mm-hmm. I like the program. It's definitely – it's on top now. It's been on top. It's a winning program, and they got great fan support. So I'm anxious to see how they do against Manteca.
Yep.
They're on the road next week, but that's okay. They can play tough as long as they just play within themselves and stay disciplined. That's the key. Don't get a little boastful. Don't get pride. Don't get, you know, prideful and cocky. But just play within yourself, and you'll do fine. This is a well balanced team.
And our thanks to the hospitality that we receive. Always very kind to us
here. Great guys
down here. We enjoy coming down to broadcast ball games. And as I say, we'll be doing more of the Wolves in the future. And that's pretty much our story from here at the Wolf Den Stadium.
And I remember the final up at Sacramento was 35 in to come, vintage 24.
24. All of those scores for Vintage came in the first half. They led at halftime.
24-21, that's correct.
Yeah. So our thanks for Cam Neal's updates on the score there. And our thanks to Charles Kennedy, our engineer back at the studio, for his job. But he always does such a good job. We appreciate it. And that's pretty much our story from Wolf Den Stadium. 7 wins in a row. Pretty good thing to take a look at. This has been a broadcast of the CIF San Joaquin Section Les Swire Tires Football Division III playoff game from Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon. Along with Kent Fry and Billy Gutierrez and Dino Alessio, this is Ira C. Smith on behalf of the Napa Valley Sports Boosters reminding you the final score, the American Canyon Wolves 17, the River Valley Falcons 10. This has been a KVON Sports presentation.